Members, let's bring this committee to order. First of all, we have a quorum, so do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll move.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Okay. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Minutes are passed. Members, we have a House resolution, and we would like to honor Randall J. Doyle. And I don't know, is he here today in the audience at all? Well, there we are. Welcome. We have a resolution to read. Would you like to join Representative Hamilton for a second?
Pardon my mess here.
House resolution reads, whereas Randall J. Doyle, a 30-plus year veteran of the fuel ethanol industry, began his career in ethanol in 1982 with Mountain Development Corporation as a cooker and continued on to his current position as general manager and CEO of Alcorn Clean Fuel in Claremont, Minnesota. And whereas founded in 1994, Alcorn Clean Fuel is a farmer-owned ethanol production cooperative that was created when depressed corn prices drove local farmers to seek new opportunities and add value to their corn crop. And whereas for two decades, Alcorn Clean Fuel has created a guaranteed and stable market for corn, maintained a strong cash position during this uncertain economy, and made investments that added significant value for members and their local communities. And whereas the Alcorn Clean Fuel plant utilizes a dry milling process, the most commonly used method in ethanol industry, and continues to utilize the best available control technologies in order to reduce energy consumption and production costs while at the same time increasing efficiencies and reducing emissions. And whereas Alcorn Clean Fuel annually grinds 17.5 million bushels of corn and produces 50 million gallons of ethanol and 132,000 tons of high-protein livestock feed, 12 million pounds of corn oil, and 70,000 tons of beverage-grade carbon dioxide. And whereas Randall serves on many industry-related boards, including the Minnesota Agri-Growth Council Board, the Executive Board and Board of Directors for the Renewable Fuels Association as its chairman, the Minnesota Biofuels Association, chairman of the Renewable Products Marketing Group, chairman of the Board for Guardian Energy LLC in Janesville, Minnesota, and on the Board of Guardian Energy Management. And whereas he is also one of the founding governors of Renewable Products Marketing Group, an ethanol marketing cooperative that combines the ethanol production of several Midwestern ethanol plants into a powerful marketing alliance that is one of the largest ethanol marketing companies in the United States. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration of the House of Representatives of the state of Minnesota that it congratulates and thanks Randall J. Doyle for his contributions to agriculture. This is signed by Speaker Kurt Dowd, Joyce Pepin, the Chair of Rules and Legislative Administration, and State Representative John Petersburg, and then Representative Rod Hamilton, the Chair of the Ag Finance Committee. Congratulations. Thank you.
You big speech. No, I'm kidding.
Great. Oh, good. Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
I think the name for
my name is Randall J. Doyle, and I would like to thank the committee for this incredible honor. Thank you very much. I will tell you that while I'm not a native Minnesotan, it's been very easy for me to find my place in the state, to work among a lot of good folks who really care about a lot of things, particularly life here in Minnesota and in the United States. And it's been great to be a part of that. The state started the ethanol industry, gave it a really big boost. And it's been great to be a part of that. I've just ridden on the shoulders of really great people. Thank you.
Thank you, and congratulations. Thank you for all your hard work in agriculture. It's amazing what corn can produce.
It is, and it's fun.
Thank you. Members, we would like to move, if Chair Hamilton is ready, we will move House File 1437.
Should we?
Okay. Mr. Chair, Chair Hamilton.
So, Madam Chair, would it be okay to take up House File 2040 right away?
That'd be a great idea, but we don't have the copies yet.
Oh, we don't have the copies? Okay, all right. That's all right. And so I'll come back and explain that one later. All right, I'll move House File 1437, and that's as amended because I believe we adopted the DE1 amendment, correct? So we do not have to take up the DE1 amendment. All right. So, Madam Chair, we do have a number of amendments. What I would like to do, with your permission, Madam Chair, if we could take up, I believe Representative Lewick has the A1 amendment.
And if okay. Representative Lewick, would you like to explain your amendment?
Yes. What the A1 amendment would do would provide some additional dollars for the Board of Animal Health to take care of some overtime and some things that we were already accumulating with the avian flu issue. So that's sort of the long and short of it. We're burning through dollars right now, and we've got to get ahead of that.
And
Mr. Chair Hamilton.
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you, and thank you, Representative Lewick, for pointing this out as well. That was the 1.8% annual operating compensation increase to the Board of Animal Health. It was an oversight that Representative Lewick helped identify as well when I was in the process of putting this bill together. I'll take full responsibility of that. I want to thank Representative Lewick for pointing that out and bringing this amendment forward, and I ask for everybody's support.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and thank you, Representative Lewick, for bringing this forward. This is an important amendment. I just got some sad news from my district. Our first flock up there has tested positive as of today, so it's something we need to be paying very, very close attention to. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Fabian. Yeah, it's sad to see somebody's business go down. Very frustrating. Is there anybody else that would like to testify if there's any new information? Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so I understand this is taking money again from Agri to give to the Board of Animal Health. And I know that there's going to be a number of discussion points here about taking Agri and bringing it smaller and smaller. And I just, I think there'll be a number of us probably who will want to speak against that, and I have had that conversation with Representative Hamilton as well. I mean, this is that's not the route that we'd like to be going, because that's a very fundamentally sound innovative program, and it does provide for a number of very good, proven, tested opportunities for value-added things. And so I think we agree that this avian flu is an extremely concerning issue, and we need to be able to address that. And the Board of Animal Health and Department of Ag and everyone who's been involved in that has been doing just a tremendous job to address it. But this is, just as a I just can't let these go by without saying Agri is a very, very good program, and it's unfortunate that money has to come from there to be able to support these other things.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. Chairman Hamilton?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Poppy. I mean, I think many of us share similar concerns. We're in the process of trying to get that addressed as well, working with leadership, working with the governor's office, spoke to them yesterday, working with the Department of Agriculture, working with the Senate, and, of course, working on our budget targets as well. Trying to get placeholders in here as well to make sure that we are addressing everything, if you will, especially the needs that are before us, This is work in progress. I can't stress that enough. It is work in progress. And so thank you for raising the concern, though. Yes, thank you for raising the concern.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hamilton, I just want to make sure I'm clear on this, because you were talking about this in response to the avian flu, but then you mentioned that this was the salary adjustment. So this is really the salary adjustment that the other agencies, to make them equal in terms of their adjustments. So it's not a response to anything. This is making them whole like everybody else.
Madam Chair.
Chairman Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And you're absolutely right. This is in response to the operating compensation increase. I've represented Lewick is correct in saying this has to be a priority, not only, because of some of the things that are currently taking place. So thank you for the clarification, Representative Hansen. Okay.
Members, is there any other conversation? Okay. So, oh, Representative Johnson? Oh, you pass. Okay. Any other testimony? Okay. So then we need to vote on this. Representative Lewick renews his motion to adopt A1 amendment. All those in favor of House File 1437A1 signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, nay.
Nay.
Okay. The motion prevails and the amendment is passed. Adopted.
Madam Chairman, with your permission, if we can go to the A14 amendment, I believe Representative Miller's offering this amendment.
A14. I'm sorry. Chairman Hamilton?
The A14 amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Miller, would you like to...
Yes, I would like to move the A14, although I just want to be clear. I just may be looking at it wrong.
It's the A14.
I got like the wrong copy here. Yeah, no. Okay. Just looking at it wrong. Sorry about that, Madam Chair. A lot of paperwork in front of me. So, yes, Madam Chair, I ask that that be moved. This is some emergency funding for in response to the avian flu. My district is kind of in the smack dab center of turkey production in the state of Minnesota, and this is very important for us. I know that there's been 14 cases to date with 900,000 birds implicated, and we are looking to give some emergency funding to the Board of Animal Health, and I believe also to the Department of Agriculture.
Okay. Representative Miller moves the House File 1437A14 amendment. Chair Hamilton, yeah. Do you have any comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And a reminder to the committee, we did have an increase in our budget, our overall base budget. We took those dollars and put our first priority focus, similar to the Department of Agriculture, and put a strong emphasis on food safety, additional food inspectors, et cetera. And those additional dollars did, a large share of those additional dollars did go towards that. But there was a couple million that were left over. So we did roll those into Agri in the DE1 amendment. And then, of course, some of those other bills are competing with those funds as well. So technically, we're absolutely correct that these dollars are coming out of Agri. However, there was some additional dollars that went in there as well. So. You know, splitting hairs a little bit here, but Representative Miller is absolutely right. This is, if you notice, there's another amendment in the packet, I believe, that was an amendment that came over from the governor's office. I was on the phone yesterday with the governor's office, and I'd like to thank him for his leadership as well on this avian influenza piece. And there's some additional dollars that went both towards Department of Agriculture and the Board of Animal Health. So once again, we're capturing the dollars to address this issue, and we're still working with everybody that aforementioned as far as the overall target. So thank you, Representative Miller. I ask for everybody's support.
Yeah. Members, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Miller and Representative Hamilton. I went over to the press conference earlier this afternoon, and this is an issue that I think people want to respond to, making sure that everything is covered, any of the expenses are covered for the agencies. I just don't think this amendment is the way to do it. It's kind of breathtaking in terms of, I know that there was yesterday the governor had indicated that there should be some additional money for those reimbursements, and so here this amendment takes it out of Agri, which we Representative Poppy just mentioned. We're taking funds out of Agri, where Agri becomes the pot that we keep drawing the money out of, and then it takes that money and puts it into the board, the research board. So it takes the $950 and adds it in, and I don't know if you even got an increase in your target to add that $950 in. So, I think this is the wrong way to go about it. We have a crisis that's going on, and Representative Miller, I understand where you're coming from. We haven't even had a hearing about this crisis. It's probably the biggest crisis that's going on in agriculture, and neither in the policy bill or in the policy committee or in the finance committee have we had the discussion that we had, that we listened to over in the press conference today. And I think it would be good for all members and all Minnesotans to hear that interagency reaction to this crisis, because there is going to be cost right now for each of those agencies in responding to this. And so I think I have an amendment later that I think is a better approach that stays within your target, Mr. Chair. And I understand where you're at with trying to increase the target. But right now, this amendment would put it out of balance, because you're spending more money than you have in your target, and it takes it from the wrong places. So I would urge a no vote on that A14 amendment, just because of it's out of balance, against the rules, takes the money from the wrong place.
Madam Chair?
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, let's ask staff to offer up some clarification, because Representative Hansen, the way it's being interpreted is not accurate. So if we could have staff speak to this. And like I said, initially, we did have a larger budget. We put that towards food safety, and then we put additional dollars into the Agri account. So if we could ask Mr. Savory to speak to this amendment, if you would, please.
Mr. Savory.
Mr. Chair, or Madam Chair and members, to clarify, this the A14 amendment would essentially reappropriate $950,000 within the budget area to this response, so therefore the cost to the target would be $0.
Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair and Madam Chair and Mr. Avery, thank you for correcting that, but it still is taking the money out of Agri and then adding additional dollars into the research pot. And I think to go back to one of the concerns I mentioned last week is, when you're dealing with rapid response, we should be appropriating the dollars to the agencies that are having to do the rapid response that we have. And I know this board is a priority for the chair, but adding $950K into the board right now is the wrong priority than compared to taking it out of Agri. I think the governor's what I thought I heard was general fund, and the general fund that's there in the board, in the transfer board, I think is a better place to take the dollars from than the competitive grant process that's in Agri versus a board that hasn't been set up yet.
Yeah. And Madam Chair.
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I think where the confusion comes in is the fact that we adopted the DE1 amendment, and therefore the dollars went into that account. In the DE1 amendment, it's already set up. hindsight's 2020, but maybe I should have started with an amendment to take those dollars, those additional dollars that we put in that account, and rolled it to the bottom line, and then offered up this amendment, and just taken it off the bottom line. So we had to word it such as this because we adopted the DE1 amendment with the additional dollars that went into that account.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, and the board doesn't exist yet, and the crisis exists now. And so we could be doing a direct appropriation rather than going back into the existing Board of Agri, which has a competitive grant process, and taking the money there. We could be taking it out of the general fund that is in a board that hasn't been established yet.
Madam Chair.
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Hansen, the board is in the DE1 amendment, and that's where the money went. And this directs the dollars out of the DE1 amendment, out of the hands of the board, into what Representative Miller is trying to get accomplished. So again, it's the way the DE1 amendment reads, and the additional dollars went in towards that. So therefore, we're taking the dollars out of that account and putting it over here. And so that's why it has to read the way that it reads.
Representative Anderson, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think it's imperative we get the money where it's supposed to go as quickly as possible. One other comment to Representative Hansen. When I got back yesterday morning, we're trying to line up an informational meeting and hearing on the topic. Extremely important topic, I totally agree, but the pieces just haven't come together yet. I listened on a conference call today to the press conference you were at, and how this is spreading, we really don't have a handle on that yet, but we are working on putting a meeting together when the Turkey people and all the other parties will be able to get here and give us information we need. So just to let the people know that we are working on an informational meeting for those of us here on the committee. Thank you.
Chair Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just, again, I would agree that this is quite a devastating influenza that's hitting so many farmers, producers, and it's very, very troubling. And as it was described today, it's, you know, like the tornado that's coming, and it's constantly coming, and they never know if they're going to get hit or not, and how difficult that is. But I just, again, want to note Agri, which is the, and I was a strong defender of Agri over the course of the last 2 years, and I'm going to continue to be a strong defender of that. Already in the first two amendments, we're reducing it again. So the first amendment down to $6,280,000, now $5,385,000, if I'm reading this correctly, that we're, you know, kind of taking again. So it's just, it's not that there isn't a need. It's not that we don't want to support the efforts, and we need to do that. It's just, again, how can we get more money? Agri is just such a good program, and it's been used so well. And I just, because one thing that I remember discussing in the last 2 years is if we start eating away at it, it becomes fodder for everyone else. And we around the table are pretty sympathetic to and supportive of agriculture and the good work that agriculture does, but not everyone who might sit next to us on the House floor might have that same impression or view. So I just, you know, a cautionary note, I guess. I just don't want us to be the ones raiding a fund, even though this is a dire need, and we need to, we absolutely must be addressing this issue. It's just, there will be others that will also come forward and say, you know what, we can also spend those dollars. So, thank you.
No. Chair Hamilton.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we're not done yet. So, I ask for your support. I mean, this is, like I said, I spoke to the governor's office. We're working with leadership and others as well on this issue. Let's just make sure that we have these dollars allocated towards it. So I ask for your support.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify on the A14 amendment? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and maybe this is a parliamentary inquiry for council. So if the A14 amendment passes, would any other amendments relating to this be out of order?
Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and Representative Hansen, I don't think they would be out of order. I think the committee would sort of have to reconcile how the amendments would interact, because I guess there can really only be one overall approach to how this change is made to support the avian influenza efforts. But, you know, it's possible the committee would be able to combine pieces of multiple amendments. But I think if the committee were to adopt this amendment, then the committee then, when considering your amendment, would have to sort of reconcile how the two would work together.
Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hamilton, you say you've spoken with the governor's office about this. Does the governor understand? I mean, I understand that you have a rationale for why you had to do it this way, but does the governor understand that this is how the money is being rolled out?
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chairman, that would be an assumption. He may understand it. He may not support it or like it.
Could we have someone from the Ag Department come down and answer that question? Or the Board of Animal Health? They're here.
I don't know. Is there anyone here from the Board of Animal Health? Don't see anybody coming forward.
I know it.
Chair Hamilton.
Well, Madam Chairman and Representative Bly, it's safe to say that they don't appreciate, nor do they support dollars coming out of the Agri Fund. I think that's safe to say. Put it on the record. I spoke to them. I know that.
Yes. Chair Hansen, or Representative Hansen, excuse me.
Madam Chair, I think they're all coming in the room right now, so there was a phone a friend effort that went on.
Oh, okay.
I think they're...
They're neck deep into avian flu. Nice to see you, Mr. Cruz.
Sandra Cruz, Department of Agriculture, for the record. Good to see you, Chair Keel. You will have to repeat the question.
Representative Bly, I'll let you do that.
Okay. I was asking Representative Hamilton about if he made the comment that he had spoken with the governor's office about Amendment A14, which has to do with allocating the money for the avian flu to the Animal Board through the yet not established research board. And he explained that because of the adoption of the delete all amendment last week that we needed to do it this way. I just wanted to make it clear. So instead we're taking money from Agri and using that to fund this. And I guess I'm just wanting to know what the department's opinion or what their thoughts are on the A14 and how the money is being laid out there. I'm sorry you weren't involved in the discussion we just had, and I realize that I'm asking you a question that is convoluted in some way.
Mr. Cruz.
Ms. Chair and members, I did have a conversation with Chair Hamilton this morning about this very issue, that we thought it was going in the wrong direction. He explained to me that with the money that would be going, the additional dollars that would be going into Agri, now granted, we've got other issues with that, but we'll set those aside for now. The earmarking of Agri funds to be used for delineated purposes, as you've heard us say throughout this session, one of the backbones of Agri's success is its flexibility to respond to different situations. But if you set that aside, my understanding from what I was told this morning was that the money that would be coming out of the money that would be used for the response to avian flu, basically the change item that the governor approved this week and that we submitted 24 hours ago. And again, you have to remember that this is something that we submitted outside of the normal process, largely because this crisis didn't happen with anybody's say-so. We didn't get forewarning that this was going to happen, nor that it was going to be as big of a crisis as it's become. I think we had a meeting with Chair Hamilton and Chair Anderson, when the first Scott County case came out. And we were very hopeful at the time that we were going to go through the quarantine procedure and the waiting period, and that would be the end of it. Well, as you've all seen, that is clearly not the case. So the approval of this change item this week and submitting it is after the DE amendment from last Friday was talked about. So really kind of simplify it. The entire pie of the ag target was spent by the time we submitted our change item. Yet at the same time, we felt that it was critical to submit it regardless. And obviously tough decisions will have to be made where that money will come from. We do support Agri staying as is with no changes. But at the same time, we are trying to respond to an emergency situation.
Representative Bly.
You know, we're kind of struggling through how to deal with the A14 one. We also know there's another amendment that might address this in a way that we might feel more comfortable with. But so it's and also trying to sort out whether or not we can take action on both amendments without, you know, setting a direction one way or another. But I guess I'm. Did you make mention of there being, you know, more money in Agri that makes this possible? Or, I mean, I understand that the governor in the last 24 hours did, you know, allocate or did put some more dollars up. But I guess I'm concerned about what's happening to. I think there's less money in the Agri fund this year than.
Mr. Cruz.
Ms. Chair and members. Representative Blyer, absolutely right. If you take a look at what's happening to the Agri fund underneath the current bill, it's the impact to it is it's more than cut in half. With the amount of money that's reappropriated and earmarked for different purposes, if you took the areas that we currently operate in Agri right now, and Assistant Commissioner Poster is here, he'd have more information on the details of each program and what it's doing. We would basically be left with less than half to run those programs as they're currently run. So that certainly is not something we support. With regard to the amendments, to be honest with you, because I just came in, I'm a little confused as to what other amendment we're talking about and what we're doing here. And I apologize for not being in the room and up to date, but as you can see, people are pulling me out left and right this afternoon.
Madam Chairman, I have an idea.
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. How about we ask Representative Miller? Thank you. How about we ask Representative Miller withdraw his amendment, bring forth the A-17 amendment, which is Hansen's, and then I ask everybody to support that one.
Representative Miller.
Madam Chair, I ask that my amendment be withdrawn at this time.
Okay. Chair Hamilton, you would wish to go to.
Let's go to the A-17 amendment, and I believe Representative Hansen wants to move that amendment.
Okay.
Thank
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hamilton. I would move the A-17 amendment.
Madam Chair, I ask for everybody's support.
Chair Hamilton.
And this does come out of the Agri funds, so it's the research side of the Agri funds, but. It comes from that same pot of money that we were talking about, but I think in the essence of time, we should go ahead and adopt this.
Okay. Are there any other questions from members? Oh, Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, so this comes out of the research fund, so out of the 600 that was going to be for rapid response, that 600 would be to the Board of Animal Health, and then because the original rapid response, Mr. Chair, was for both plant and animal, the second part of the amendment, just describing the amendment, goes to the plant side of it in case we have a similar crisis on plants. So I would ask for your support and appreciate the chair's support.
Yeah, and Madam Chair,
Chair Hamilton.
So everybody's clear, it goes right back to the same pool of money that we were just discussing with the Miller amendment because it refers to the DE amendment. But again, I ask for everybody's support on this. Thank you.
Any other questions from members? Chair Anderson.
Just a question to Representative Hansen. The second part of your amendment, does that pertain to what we're trying to accomplish here, and do you still want that as part of this amendment?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Anderson. We never know when a plant disease is going to come, and I think the part of the original bill and what was in the DE that had both the plant and the livestock diseases. We're putting more into the emergency right now, but the plant diseases could still happen. We could have a rust breakout or some other type of plant disease. So having that there, we have money in the invasives account, but not not for the rapid response like this. So I think $300,000 is a good insurance for any type of plant disease that could come.
Okay. Chair Anderson, do you have any other questions? Okay. Right, members. Representative Hansen moves his A-17 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. A-17 is adopted. Chair Hamilton, where would you like to go from
here? Madam Chair, how about we skip to the A-5 amendment? I was visiting with this is the I was talking with some of the members here with Urban Ag. And working very, very closely with Representative Clark. I know Representative Pearson was working on this as well. I don't know if Representative Pearson wants to move the A-5 amendment or not, but
I'd be honored to move the A-5 amendment.
So, Madam Chair, to the A-5 amendment, and maybe the department could also speak to this. I know this is an issue that's near to all of us. This is the Urban Ag initiative. We do have a definition, or excuse me, a study in the DE amendment for the Department of Agriculture to address a lot of the questions that we had in committee as it pertains to urban ag. This amendment would offer a definition around urban ag and also instruct, if you will, the commissioner they must provide outreach to urban farmers regarding the department's financial and technical assistance programs and must assist urban farmers in applying for this. And again, I don't want to speak for them, but I believe I would be in line by saying that Commissioner Fredrickson, this is an issue that's very that he also supports as far as the concept around urban agriculture, and the department's committed to helping us out in the interim, if you will, to find something that will work here as well.
Mr. Cruz.
Sandra Cruz, Department of Ag, for the record. Madam Chair, you know, we've got a long hearing ahead of us. I would just echo exactly what the chair said. He is involved, myself, representatives from the department programming on this issue. He's made it a real priority. Obviously, urban agriculture is a huge priority for the commissioner and near and dear to his heart. And, of course, we would be remiss not to recognize Representative Clark's advocacy in this area. We've heard, you know, from advocacy groups like Project Sweetie Pie, the Council of Black Minnesotans, who've done a great job of not only raising their issues for all of us to hear, but doing a great job of communicating some false conceptions around youth and agriculture in Minnesota and in the metro area. And I think it was Ms. Devine who spoke yesterday in front of Senator Tomasoni's committee in the other body, and she spoke very eloquently once again about the issues of wanting to be more involved in agriculture, and that's certainly something that the department welcomes and is going to look to support.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Are there any other members that would like to testify or on the A-5 amendment? Representative Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Hamilton, I appreciate that this amendment as a beginning step. And I certainly will be voting for it. I also appreciate that you're going to allow me to offer the other amendment that inadvertently didn't get put into the packet. But for now, I just want to say I do appreciate this amendment. We should all vote for it. It's a good step forward.
Okay. Chair Hamilton, do you have any questions?
No. Thank you. Thank you, Representative.
Any other? Okay. Representative Pearson renews his motion to adopt the A-5 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Nay. Okay. A-5 amendment is passed.
Madam Chair, if we can move to the A-8 amendment. I believe Representative Lewick was working on this one. It expands the scope of eligible loggers who can harvest biomass for advanced fuel. So I think it's Representative Lewick. Move it.
Representative Lu, would you like to introduce your amendment?
Yes, the A-8 amendment. What it does is it broadens the folks that be eligible to participate in the biomass harvesting element. What we found out, and we've got 38 master loggers in the state of Minnesota. Let me say it again, 38, not 380, but 38. That's a fairly small group of people. I've got one in my district, and that encompasses two for pretty big counties. So what this does is the loggers have an education program that covers a much, much broader elements. And it's the master loggers are at the top. So if you get your PhD in logging, you're a master logger. There's over 380 companies involved with their people in this logger education program. So all this does would bring that down, so participation in that program would make you eligible. Right now, in this information I've got now dug up on this, 95% of the wood product that's handled in Minnesota is handled by folks that are in the logger education program. So this really broadens things out, because I mean, you know, I've got one company with one master logger in my entire district, and half of my district is forest land, state and county land that's managed. So this is just fixes that, makes sure that we're very inclusive and not going to shut people out unintentionally. Obviously that was never the intention of the bill.
Thank you. Chair Hamilton?
I ask for your support.
Members, do you have any questions or concerns? Okay. All those are, excuse me, Representative Lewitt renews his motion to, excuse me, adopt the A18 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me. Let me say it again. Renews his motion for A8 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion prevails, and the amendment is adopted.
Yeah.
Okay. Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, if we could bring up the A4 amendment. I believe this is Representative Poppy, and it increased mental health grants around that.
Right. Representative Poppy, would you like to?
Yes, I'd like to move the A4. And I appreciate Representative Hamilton does have this base amount, the $94,000, but I had introduced a bill and was asking to increase that to $134,000 per year. This amendment is to increase it to $113,000 per year, because it was the amount that was on the bottom line. So I'm trying to stay within the budget that Representative Hamilton has for this bill. I'd certainly like to see it go higher, but let me just talk about mental health counseling. And what is already in the bill is the change in language that makes it broader. So it's not just for the farm business management families. It's for all families that are farmers or producers in Minnesota. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about avian flu. And so just the stress and distress that people go through on a regular basis, no matter if it's because of the weather or because of storms or because of other natural disasters or because of things like the avian flu. So I think there's very strong need for mental health counseling. It's and this has not been increased for a number of years, and I just think it would be appropriate to increase this so that the person who does this work on behalf of the department is able to be able to pay for more of his bills. So I appreciate the support.
Chair Hamilton.
I ask for your support. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, I don't know if there's anybody else that'd like to testify. You've been asking that, just a simple reminder.
Yes. Is there anyone that would like to testify to this amendment? Any members that have questions? I guess not. I'll try and get this right this time, Chair, Representative Poppy. Senator Poppy renews her. I need new glasses, and I just bought some too. I apologize first of all. Representative Poppy renews her motion on A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and amendment is adopted. Thank you.
Madam
Chair Hamilton.
If we could move to the A9 amendment, I believe this is Representative Johnson's amendment. Directs MDA as far as prioritize and agri, I believe.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A9 amendment.
Okay. To your amendment.
Okay, yeah. This gets at the pressure that on the agri fund, and this is one of my responses, and it builds upon first the experience I've had in my district where we found, I'd like to lay a little background, that value-added agriculture in the Mankato area is really successful. The most recent success, I think, is our popcorn maker, and if you've ever eaten Boom Chicka Pop, that's made in North Mankato, came in, you know, granted it's only a popcorn, but it's an important ag product, provides a lot of jobs and a lot of smiles on faces of people who are enjoying the snack, and is sold across the nation, for all I know, across the world at this point. But I come from a community that's really rooted in value-added agriculture, and this is going back probably almost at certainly a half a century or close to a century, and it's really helped, as you've seen, the growth in our city, and it spreads the impact of agriculture beyond the farm and provides so much opportunity for people who don't happen to own land or who aren't producers to be involved in this very important industry. So it's based in part on that. It's also based in part on what I saw as the agri funds were used and provided for in the last couple of years, and I saw livestock operations in my district, where one family, a great family, a former member, actually a granddaughter of a former member of the House, who applied to get a robot for the dairy. And really with the idea and successfully use those funds to secure a robot for the dairy and really hopes to expand the dairy so they can absorb a larger family in that farm. And that's just good news for the dairy. It's good news for that family. It's good news for agriculture in my county. And then I also saw examples where, again, value-added agriculture. And it was interesting. We went to a cheese factory, the Alamar Cheese in Mankato. We went there about a year and a half ago, and they had, I believe, about one employee. And then we went there again this year, and as they're continuing to grow, now they got two employees, and hopefully we can go back there next year and see three or four employees. And so the point is these funds are working with value-added agriculture and livestock operations, and we see the pressure on agri, and we've been talking about the decreased amount of money, and we see the carve-outs, and we see the also a number of other priorities, which, again, are valid. But this is my attempt to place the priority on the value added and the livestock, and it also responds to Mr. Peterson, who testified before the committee and made a commitment that in their organization, the Farmers Union, does see this as the most important priority. So I think this language would help guide the department in funneling funds towards value added and livestock operations.
Chair Hamilton.
Ask for your support.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a comment on that to Representative Johnson. I've long been a supporter of blender pumps for E10 up to E15, for example. And I don't know if you would consider that type of grant an ag, value-added ag business, but for us to go and tell the department that you will prioritize these two areas, I have a little bit of trouble with that in the sense that I feel that our blend wall and ethanol is extremely important. We have a huge ethanol industry in the state. And if we are handicapped by the blend wall and not being able to go to E15, for example, I think that would be a huge problem for our ethanol industry. So I understand your wanting to emphasize these two areas, but I think we have to be careful not to shortchange others that others of us feel may be just as important. Okay.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, I really respect your comments. I think this is a problem we've got here. And I think it is illustrating what we're really facing here, where, you know, it's inherently the challenge of government and legislating. We're limited funds, and there's a lot of needs and a lot of wants. And I'm not going to get into the overall targets of the House and all that. We could Yeah, that's a long story and all that. But I think it does kind of point out the challenge that this committee, which seeks to work together and to provide the backbone for everyone in this room, sees agriculture as the key industry in the state of Minnesota. And we share this, and this makes this a really neat committee to work on because we can work together. And I think we're facing the political realities, and we face it in both parties, but we're facing it right now with this situation with respect to agri, because I think all of us, if we dug deep into our districts and saw what's been going on, those funds have been spread across the state, and it's the tug of priorities. But I thought those two areas merited it. I think it gets spread out to the smaller operations and the livestock operations too. And again, I think you know I have a small tree farm in Wadena County, and I remember three years ago, I was noticing the Sabika, Minnesota. They interviewed the kids that were graduating from high school, and the number of kids that wanted to start a cow calf operation in Wadena County, and that it's tend to be smaller farms up there. And these livestock grants might help one of those kids be able to start that cow-calf operation. And so that's a lot of my motivation for this. But I definitely respect your opinion on that. And in so many ways, I agree with you as well. Thank you.
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, and you know what, Representative Johnson, thank you for bringing me around once again, because you're absolutely right. This committee has been working bipartisanly together. It's been very, very open. And Chair Anderson is spot on too. And what this does, once again, is similar to what we've been criticized, what I've been criticized for as far as making carve-outs on these agri funds. Would you be willing to withdraw this amendment? And we continue working on this as a whole as it moves forward, whether it's additional targets, whether it's changes in some of the priorities that the various groups brought together. Because I think if you take a hard look at this bill, I would say that we would have just a rock-solid agriculture bill, bipartisan, not nonpartisan. But what we're doing is we're fighting over all the same funds right now to try to fund the initiatives that various groups brought before that are very, very good initiatives. And so, you know, as the chair of the committee, I'm doing the best job we possibly can to, you know, in total transparency, to have placeholders or whatever as we navigate through this process. And I understand where the angst comes from. And I want to say thank you to the department and AURI. I see them out there and others as well, you know. Commissioners, I want to say thank you, because they could be up here and just totally coming unglued. But you know what? We've said there's a time and a place for that. I said, let's keep working on this. You know, we're working in good faith as well. And you know what? We're trying to get a bill crafted that goes back to what I'd said originally when I said I want it all. You know, we're trying to do that. And here we are. We're pitting ag against ag. I'm not going to apologize for that, because I'm looking at the end game here as well. And so, you know, Representative Hansen, you know, on your amendment that you brought forward, it did basically very similar to what Representative Miller was doing. And we're splitting hairs on the dollars. I'm going to argue that yours came from the same pot of money that Representative Hansen's came from, you know. And with what you're saying as far as criticizing us for carve-outs, it's exactly what we're doing with this amendment. So coming back to your comment about all of us working together and trying to bring forth a bill, a bipartisan bill that focuses on rural Minnesota and urban metro initiatives as well, that's the end goal, or that's the end game. That's where we're trying to get. And so if it's totally up to you, I already said I'd support your amendment on this, but if we could keep our eye on the goal here as well, and if I could ask that you could withdraw this amendment, and we could have this conversation at a later date.
Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I withdraw my amendment.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I would like to move to, I'd actually like to defer to Chair Anderson. This pertains to the Neuberger bill,
And there's a couple amendments that Representative Neuberger has offered. And Chair Anderson is spearheading this, so if we could defer to him, I'm not sure which one to bring forth.
Chair Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yeah, Representative Neuberger has worked very hard in this bill, and a couple of amendments here. And we're going to withdraw the A3 amendment, Madam Chair, and go with the A2 amendment.
A2 is withdrawn, and then we're going to discuss A2?
The A2 amendment, if I could move that, and I'd like to make an oral amendment if the Chair would entertain that, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, to that oral amendment, all I ask out of common courtesy is we look to the minority lead for any type of oral amendments or anything other. It's just out of common courtesy.
Representative Poppy.
It depends on what it is.
Okay.
I would just say
you'd like to know what it is,
Mr. Chair. I mean, I think if it's usually an oral amendment is just a technical fix, so I'm usually okay with that. But just hear what he's proposing here.
Chair Anderson, would you like to explain the A2 amendment, please?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Wouldn't let me get away with it, would you? No, anyway, at the author's request, I would like to split the amendment after line 1.8. And then withdraw the 1.9 through 1.14, just drop those lines. Representative Neuberger said that they aren't necessary. Already in statute, there are exemptions for folks to do less than $5,000 worth of business to in a farmer's market. So I'd like to withdraw lines 1.9 through 1.14, Madam Chair.
Representative Poppy?
Madam Chair, I think that's acceptable.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, we could just check with staff and make sure that that's workable and that does accomplish what the author's trying to get accomplished.
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, yes, that works to remove lines 9 through 14. There's just one corresponding change on 1.6 to delete A, because now there would just be one paragraph instead of paragraphs A and B.
Oh. So to make sure, members, we are going to remove A on 1.6 and then lines 1.9 through 1.14. Okay.
So, Madam Chair, I think we have to move that oral amendment first. Is that correct? I think so. Just vote on that.
Okay. Chair Anderson, I understand you can modify the amendment. Okay. So,
I would modify the amendment the way that was described by Mr. Sullivan, Madam Chair.
Okay. Do we need some discussion on that now, right? Is there any? Representative Hansen?
On the modified amendment, since we're dealing with food safety, I'd just like to have the Department of Ag or Health or whoever come down on to get them on the record that they're okay with it.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, and you know the drill. Introduce yourself and who you represent.
Madam Chair, Matt Warman. I'm Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. We have been working with the stakeholders as it pertains to the cottage food provisions in the bill. Our position generally is that, you know, this amendment sets up a two-tier system, and so you'd have folks where they have gross receipts of less than $5,000, which is current law, that don't need to register, and then those that are over $5,000 would need to register and do some of these better manufacturing practices, education, and so forth. And so, Madam Chair, our preference would be the language that's currently in the bill.
Okay. Questions for the department? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Commissioner Woolman. So, I have a process question here of how you would determine this on lines 1.17. So, and I'll just use a specific example here. I'm familiar with Amish farmers who can, and they have little roadside stands, and so keeping track of things, they're not using these things. It's all paper. So are you tracking along and you hit to December 30th and they went over 5,001 in that calendar year, or do you look at the previous calendar years to see if they went over 5,000 to bring them into compliance for the subsequent year? How would you implement that?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Wallman.
Ben Miller is our co-lead for our Dairy and Food Inspection Division, and he would be able to help us answer that question.
Please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, for the record, Ben Miller, manage our food and response program, Department of Ag. Madam Chair, Representative, we typically just say what's your anticipated gross annual sales. So do you think you would make more than, say, $5,000 that year or $10,000, whatever? And that's essentially it would be self-reported based on their best estimate.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, and then to the testifier, so then they anticipate it, but what if they have a really good year? Are you penalizing them, or what? How do you take that into account?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Miller.
Representative. They would essentially have to self-report then at that point, you know, that they would have exceeded that amount, and say, you know, I would need to then register if that was a requirement as proposed under this language.
Representative Hansen.
Then, Madam Chair, wouldn't it be hard to go back and redo your equipment if you've tipped over that limit? I mean, if you're going back on registering, Madam Chair and Chair Hamilton, I understand where you're going here, but I think this one might need a little bit more detail work too.
Mr. Miller.
Madam Chair, Representative, the question is, would they exceed a limit in the exclusion? So as written here, that would be $18,000, at which point they would need to be a licensed business. That would really essentially change the approach, because this would be home-processed food, and they would have to identify an establishment in which they would be able to be licensed at that point. So it would really change the model of the approach. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question.
Representative Hansen.
Madam Chair, and I think, so if we adopted the amendment and we have the different criteria for sales less than 5,000, and they anticipate that they're going to be less than 5,000, and they go over 5,000, how do you correct it? So they self-correct, but you've already sold the food. So, I mean, that's my question of how do you actually track, how do you have a remedy here if they are moving through time?
Mr. Miller. Oh, Mr. Wallman.
Madam Chair, I think that's the concern that we have, is that there's a two-tier system here, and it would be very difficult and time-consuming to track this from the department's perspective. I think the language that's currently in the bill brings everybody under the same system, and it would be much more straightforward in terms of how we would work with these cottage food vendors.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, this seems to me to be pretty common sense. Obviously, there are a number of people who may be involved in this process that are just pretty small producers. They don't want to go through all of the department's rules and regulations and so forth. So, you know, I appreciate the Representative Anderson that you've got this amendment. Let's just leave the little guys alone, okay? Thank you.
Representative
and
Anderson.
And gals, I'm sorry. Guys.
Guys.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Anderson.
Yeah, the only reason for this amendment was that the really small volume folks who go to farmers markets and stuff that just didn't want to pay the $50 fee and do all of the other things. So nobody's trying to get around anything, I don't think. It's not going to be a huge problem for anybody. But the only reason for this was to allow the small folks to to not have to register. If they're going to sell some potatoes for a couple of weeks on in July and August, that they didn't want to have to register. So that's the only reason for this, Madam Chair.
And
thank you, Chair Anderson. Chairman Hamilton.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we're just talking up here, and we'll continue working on this as well, because we all understand where Representative Neuberger and others are wanting to get with this. So I would ask that we would support this amendment, and we're going to be in talks as we move forward.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other testifiers? Okay. I have to tell you one quick, really quick story. Last year when I was working, there was an event in my hometown, and a little girl wanted to have a lemonade stand. Her parents wanted to teach her economics. It goes to the small area. She was going to do it three times. They told her that she had to pay a $90 fee just to do it in the town. And then, oh, by the way, she had to have a certificate from, I think, the Department of Ag, or the certification from the Department of Health. Right. Oh, my gosh. And it was just, we're talking about a third grader here. Right. And her parents were trying to teach her, you know, raising funds. And we got it all worked out. So she actually made some money, because for a while I thought she was going to be in debt for the rest of the year. By the way, the lemonade was very good. So let's move on then.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering, because I do think the issue of the training and the safety of the food, you know, the one thing is the registration and the $50. The other is the safety, food safety, and I just training. And it did seem like, if I recall, you know, that people who came forward talked about how that was really important to everyone to do. So I'm just wondering if maybe there's another amendment, oral amendment, to not do the subdivision 5 and just do subdivision 4. I don't know if that may not help the situation at this point or whatever, but it seems like food safety is an issue, and we're gonna, you know, it's so
it's Chair Hamilton,
it is what it is.
Oh, excuse me, Chair Hamilton.
Can you repeat the question, please? I'm going to blame this one on Mr. Santo Cruz.
Okay. So. I believe you were talking, Representative Poppy.
I'm sorry, Representative Poppy.
That's okay. Madam Chair and Chair Hamilton, I was just wondering about the Subdivision 5, which is the training piece. It just seems like the training piece is important if they are going to be selling exempt food. You know, under the subdivision, and that they have the safe food handling training course. I guess that's just, that's just an area. If we don't do subdivision 5, if I'm reading this correctly, I guess I'm just wondering if, again, that kind of goes back to Representative Hansen's question of maybe they think they're going to sell only less than 5,000, but they end up selling 7,000, and then they didn't do the safe handling. I don't know. It does. It's just I can see how the department can have some concern, because it seems like some things are raised that initially, I guess, I didn't think about.
Chair Hamilton.
You have a suggestion? I'm looking to the department right now.
Do you have a suggestion?
Mr. Wolman.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, Madam Chair, I think the important thing here is that all vendors that are covered under the cottage food law register and then have the ability to get the education and the best practices and so forth in terms of food safety. The fee, that's another question. We can deal with that question. But I think the important thing is making sure that we don't set up a two-tier system in terms of folks registering and getting the education that they need.
Madam Chair.
Chair Hamilton.
If Chair Poppy would like to make that oral amendment by keeping Subdivision 5 in there, I think that would be...
I have a question on that.
Cool. Representative Miller.
Madam Chair, I just, if I understand properly, it would, Representative Poppy, it would basically include training for anyone that was selling any sort of food then, basically, right? So Madam Chair, my concern is as we're kind of getting into the weeds on this, we're losing some intensive original things, and anyone who's doing any sort of farmer's market right now suddenly now has to go to a class.
Yeah.
And farmer's markets are opening soon. So that would be my concern of that. If I could be a little bit of a testimony to this, I went through this about 4 or 5 years ago with my daughter because she wanted to sell cookies to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Brought them here, like I think the last meeting we had. And we wanted to know how she could just make a little bit of money in high school. And that's where we found out about the $5,000 limit. That's where we found out about all these different things. And it seemed like a reasonable way to kind of do your lemonade stand sort of thing, that there's a practical reason that people just make a little bit of money off of these things, and let's just kind of hold them harmless. So if we start doing all these different things, I think we're just, it's just going to cause more problems than it was ever intended.
Sure.
Yeah.
Chair Hamilton.
We were just once again having a conversation up here. Currently, they're not subject to this, currently. And so you're spot on, Representative Miller. And that was the conversation that we were having. You know, now all of a sudden you're going to have your potentially your Kool-Aid stand or whatever. He's saying no. But yeah, going through the training.
Mr. Miller.
Chair Keel and representatives. I think the important thing to read in here is it applies to subdivision 9 and 10, which is non-potentially hazardous food and then home processed canned food. So when you talk about the tomatoes from your garden and things like that, this doesn't apply to that. Okay. That's covered under subdivision 2 of 28A15. So product of the farm or garden is excluded and can be sold without a license at the farmer's market and places like venues like that. And I think the other important point to make is that this expands the venue from farmers market and community event to home-based sales, direct-to-consumer sales. So it really expands the venue considerably, and that was where, in our conversations with stakeholders, I think it was identified that food handling education piece was important because you have people, you're essentially increasing the volume in the venue at that point. So what are some specific considerations to safely preparing food that you're going to sell to the public from your own kitchen? So that was... some of the basis for the.
So, Madam Chair, if I could rethink the testimony from Representative Neuberger, then speaking to him as well. So, he offered up his bill. We put his bill in its entirety in the DE amendment. And now, what this amendment to the amendment's doing is basically rolling back his initial bill to make it reflect how it was before the bill. For those the small sales of receipts less than 5,000, because after that went into effect, it was those individuals that were calling us and saying we don't like the changes. The ones that would go above 5,000 were saying we do like the changes, and so that was the cutoff. And people are shaking their heads. Yes, that was the cutoff. So Representative Neuberger wanted to respond to the individuals that had the concerns and say leave it the way it was. Don't mess with us. We're under 5,000, and so please leave it the same. And that's what this amendment does.
Okay. Representative Fabian, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I talked to the author, to Representative Neuberger.
Oh, you're
and,
here.
Yeah. And
talking like you're not here.
And
buddy, come on up.
And the suggestion that I made was, and again, you know, I've been to bake sales at the church and the school and all over the place, and the cookies have been baked in someone's kitchen or maybe in the church kitchen, and quite frankly, I've never gotten sick from eating any of the stuff. But that being said, if you have to take a class and you have to do this food safe food handling stuff, and you go to, wherever, the farmer's market, if the agency then were to issue some sort of a, make sure I'm getting this right now, safe handling certificate that you've taken this, and that's laying on the table where you're selling your stuff, you as a consumer can see that, hey, Representative Neuberger, he passed that safe handling thing, but Representative Fabian doesn't have that certificate, so you as a consumer can decide to choose to buy it from Neuberger or myself, and it makes it all moot, and then we don't have to worry about the little guys, and we can address it that way. Suggestion. But we are getting down in the cookies here, not the wheat.
Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And for your information, Representative Fabian, you wouldn't want to buy anything I baked. I'm the only guy.
I'm
the only guy that's ever flipped cookies that like pancake. Never mind. Members, this has been a long, strange trip. And what we're trying to do here is originally what we put in the original bill, as Representative Anderson's and Hamilton, the chairs Hamilton and Anderson have reflected on is everything was real good. We had the perfect piece of legislation, and I patted myself on the back, and I went up to my office and brewed a pot of coffee, and then the phone started to ring, which I guess that's how that is. So, but again, there was a lot of concern from the real small producers, the people that just want to bake, you know, let's say they want to have a little fundraiser for a family with cancer, or they want to bring some pies to church, something like that. And there was a lot of consternation and a lot of angst over the fact that the people were thinking, well, now if I want to, you know, raise $500, I've got to pay $50, register with the state, and take a class. And some people really had a lot of heartburn with that, and rightfully so. So trying to calm the waters here, what we did is we said, well, let's just take a deep breath, take a step back and say, look, if you're under $5,000, nothing changes. Knock yourself out, have a good day, just do what you're doing if you're under $5,000, which is good, which we thought was fine. The one problem that we came into with that, though, is that the whole reason that that I'm here before you today is that the cottage food folks said, well, this is all well and good, Representative Neuberger, but there's still a limitation that we have. If you're a cottage food, if you want to try to get into this, if you're under $5,000, you can't do any direct sales, and you can't advertise. You can't even give out a business card. And they said that really defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do here. And so that's why we kind of came up with this. And there are really two groups of people that are doing this in the cottage food industry. There are the folks that are doing it on occasion to raise a couple of bucks to send their kid to camp or for whatever. And then there are the people that are trying to do this as supplemental income. And this committee, God bless you and thank you for sitting through this with me, because you've been on this long, strange trip with me. We got so focused on the supplemental income people, the people that wanted to come down, you know, the single moms, the grandmas, the single whatever, people that wanted to, you know, supplement their incomes. We got so focused on getting people to that $18,000 mark, which I think is great, that we kind of forgot about the little people that just want to sell a couple batches of cookies, but they'll lose money because they got to pay $50 to the state now to sell their $10 worth of cookies. And that's where we really came into the problems. And members, that all we're trying to do is just say, if you're under $5,000, we don't look at you as someone that's doing this as supplemental income. We're just looking at you as someone that's doing this as an occasional thing. And that's all we're trying to do here. And if you would pass this, I'll have all these people bake something for you, and you'll be really happy. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I ask for your support on the amendment.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Representative Gruenhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. So could you clarify what we're voting on, ma'am? Are we on the order?
That'd be a great idea, wouldn't it?
Where are we at?
My understanding is we are going to vote on the A2 as modified, which would be 1.11 through 1.8. Correct, minus the A on 1.6.
And we're leaving the 4 and 5 in there.
We didn't move to change that yet. Representative Neuberger.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone offline on this. And this is something that I want to do the right thing and work with people on this and work with all stakeholders and everyone involved here. And again, I just appreciate your support. And if you vote for this, I'll go away.
Aye.
I've got Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think, again, there are two issues that still are hanging out there, if I understand. One is the training, and the other is the registration. And the department is saying they want people to register, even if they're only doing a small amount of raising of funds. I don't know how important the registration fee of $50 is. Is that, and maybe I missed this, that you're saying that other people are doing $50, or is that expected to raise a lot of money that is needed, or is there a way to just say it's an annual registration fee may be charged or something? I guess I'm just, you know, this is picking apart a very small provision in this bill, but I am hearing from the department that, you know, they would like people to be registered, and I guess I am a bit concerned about that food safety piece. I don't know if the department has any other.
Does the department want to respond?
Madam
Chair, Miller.
Representatives, I think in the discussions with the stakeholders that the registration portion was one of the key concepts, and it was recognized that, you know, if you're dealing with a recall situation or an ingredient may be recalled and things like that, that there's a food safety component, and do we know who's actively engaged in this so that we can reach out, you know, should something unfortunate happen, that we have a sense of who's doing this. And right now there is not a registration requirement. We felt that that was appropriate given the expansion of the venue to home-based sales rather than just limiting the venue right now to farmers markets and community events. So it was really that was sort of born out of the concept of food safety in that conversation. So, and the only other point I would make too is that, like, church bake sales and cook, you know, things that cook at schools and things like that are already currently exempt from licensure under subdivision 2 of 28A15. So this is still not really, it's not those settings that we're talking about here under the cottage food bill.
Okay. Representative Pepper, Poppy. Okay.
Madam Chair, I just, yep. Thank you. I'm not sure that we need this amendment at this time. I guess anyway, that's it.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and following up on Representative Poppy and, you know, Representative Hamilton, so we go back 10 years, so 2 years ago, I think Representative Radinovich dealt with this with chili. I remember Representative Drazkowski 4 years before that saying we'd never have to listen to this again. I think that was the correct. I think that was something. We had long speeches on the floor. I think we had Representative Fritz 2 years before that, and then we go back to Representative Junkie with the pickle bill that kept resurfacing in the early part of the century. And so the challenge here is that you want to provide, I think the difference between the community events and the profit-making entities is you have a difference when you're selling versus having a chili feed or a booyah cook-off like in my district. And we always run into this balance between food safety and entrepreneurship. And that's why it's hard. That's why we're having a struggle, and it's really hard to draft in committee. And so I'm guessing we're going to continue to be working on this. And I can guarantee you whatever happens. So Representative Neuberger, I hope you don't stand up and say we'll never have to hear about this again. Because I think we will continue to hear about this because of that challenge. And if there's an incident, we will definitely hear about it again if there's a food poisoning incident. I wish you luck in this, but I think it is something that should continue to be discussed to try to find that balance.
Chair Hamilton.
And thank you. And I believe he did stay on record that we'd never see him again. I think he said he would never see, not hear, never see. So, yeah. Madam Chair, I understand what the author's intent is. Like I said, we voted to increase that, and now we're looking at rolling this amendment would roll back that one section back to the original intent, or back to the original law, the original statute, and that's what we're voting on currently. So to address the sales less than 5,000, to take it right back the way it was in statute. So I ask for your support. Okay.
Thank you. Members, with that, we're going to move House File 8, or no, Amendment A2.
Amendment.
As a modified, all those in favor of A2 as modified, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails, and the amendment is modified as adopted.
Can I share that with the group?
I'm sure I'm seeing him again. He sits next to me on the floor.
So, Madam
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you. How about we, Madam Chair, let's go to the 810. I believe this is the Johnson Amendment as it deals with aquaculture, I believe. Is that correct?
Representative Johnson, would you like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the 810 amendment.
Okay. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yeah, this is this amendment comes out of the interesting conversation we had about the need for improved bait fish. I am a fisherman. I appreciate this. And what I thought when I heard the testimony in the back of my mind the day that the testifiers came in, I want to thank the gentleman for testifying, and they spoke to me about this before the meeting tonight, was that throughout that testimony, I kept thinking, well, why don't we study the ability to improve our harvest of shiners in Minnesota? You know, our theme throughout this whole session has been, let's get agriculture in all aspects, and let's improve agriculture. And I thought, well, maybe there's a shot about that. And now I don't know much about shiners other than I know a little bit about seining for minnows and that sort of thing. But I thought there was an opportunity there. And so that was in the back of my mind during the testimony. And then I was disturbed, frankly, by the testimony the other day when the DNR testified on this facet of the bill, really expressed some real concerns about bringing fish to Minnesota. And I think then I think about I serve on the Environmental Natural Resources Committee. I have for a couple of years. And invasive species are very real and very troublesome. And so I thought, okay, why don't we study both? And so what this amendment would be, we would look at the challenge of importing the fish. We'd also look at the possibility or the opportunity of improving harvests of shiners in Minnesota. So that's the purpose of the amendment. So it expands the study.
Okay, thank you. Chair Hamilton, do you have any comments?
I ask for your support. And I don't know if do you we want have to testify, but
do we have testifiers in the audience that would like to comment?
No, they're shaking their head. Okay. No, so that's.
Are there members that would? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and maybe this is to the author of the amendment, but about 10 years ago, we had quite an issue relating to production of bait fish in wetlands and in public wetlands, and so with the way the amendment is drafted, would you be? Is it your intent that work group would involve the DNR and I'm just concerned about public waters being used for private profit, and I think we ran into that trouble before, and so is it your intent the DNR would be involved in the work group?
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You're in a part of the I respect what you're saying, Representative Hansen, but public waters are already used for in this industry as I know the Crow Wing River they say for minnows, so it's public waters and it's for profit, and so That's my response to it. The work group, there's no reason why the work group could not include certainly information from or feedback or involvement from the DNR.
Okay. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Johnson. That's kind of the point, to look at how the resource is impacted. So if the DNR is at the table in the work group, those issues about population and impact in the ecosystem hopefully would be resolved.
Representative Lewick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This makes some sense, and to add this in to one of the things that we look at. The DNR is already on that, would be named, is named as a stakeholder, and obviously would come to the table as an expert. But I want to say something quite blunt here about the here's how I took the testimony from the folks in the DNR. He laid it out rhyme and verse why we need this study. Not because, I mean, he talked about all the potential issues when you move anything live across the border into Minnesota and put it in the water. So he made the best case I've heard, bar none, as to why we need to take a look at this. We can't live in a vacuum here in Minnesota. The rest of the states surrounding us use the ability to move commercial amounts of bait fish around, and we do want to be careful and not get sidetracked that we're just going to go look at ways to grow these, because a lot of folks have spent a lot of time, you know, trying to do that. I mean, this just adds another good element to this whole thing. But again, I just want to say it again. I've known that gentleman for a long time, and don't want to compare this to the Mille Lacs Lake expertise that we deal with on walleyes, but he made the case why this study needs to be done. So I would in no way be afraid of the testimony that the DNR, and to take it in the vein that we shouldn't do this. And I say I support Representative Johnson's addition here. It just kind of rounds it out.
Thank you. Representative Chair Anderson?
No.
Okay. Any other testimony? Okay. So Representative Johnson moves A10? The A10 amendment. And all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Okay. The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I believe there's a few more amendments. The A0443, that was the governor's. I believe we already addressed that, so we don't have to take that one up. And that was the Representative Miller and subsequently the Representative Hansen amendment, so I don't believe we need to take that one up. Staff can correct me if I'm wrong. We also have the let's take the A16th amendment. A16, if we could. And this is Representative Considine, his amendment. And if I could ask someone from the department come down and I was and am a supporter of this. I think I signed on to the bill. And this would instruct the department to focus on Cuba, and it would be a trade mission, et cetera. The reason it wasn't placed in the bill, and I did talk with Representative Kessler on this as well, because I didn't want to change the focus, if you will, if the department is already working on some things, then all of a sudden we redirect them in another direction. And that's why it wasn't in the bill. So what I'd like to do at this time is hear from the department, and then we can go from there as a committee.
Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair and Chair Hamilton, for a second, I thought you were going to say I'd like to hear from the dark side.
That's right.
Yeah, I did. Santo Cruz for the record, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. You know, I think there's a lot of excitement, and I think it's justified around the issue of opening trade missions to Cuba. I think, as this committee is well aware, I think their largest agriculture imports are corn and soybeans, and that just so happens to be our largest export. So clearly there's opportunities there, and we want to explore them. However, you know, I think one of the things that the chair has done an excellent job of this session is talking about
you know, wanting to do everything possible for ag in Minnesota. And I think that, you know, you've heard it from Representative Lueck, you've heard it from Representative Johnson, you've heard it from Representative Hansen, Vice Chair Poppy, Lead Poppy, about all the different issues that facing agriculture this session. And this bill seeks to try and do everything with a target that, quite frankly, can't support doing everything as everybody would want it. And for that reason, we oppose this amendment, not because we don't see the same opportunities that are staring you all in the face, and not because we don't think that there are things that need to be done to be there first and to understand the market opportunities in Cuba. But quite frankly, you know, as has been belabored tonight, the Agri Fund is a successful program. We want to keep it intact, and we see this bill is in conflict with that priority for the department. But certainly, if there was an adjusted target, we would take a second look at this.
Thank you. Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I guess we don't have the amendment in front of us yet, so I don't know if there's somebody that would like to move it.
A16, we do have it.
Oh, we do have it before?
Yes, but no, we have not moved it.
That's what I meant, Madam Chair.
We have not moved the amendment. So, oh, excuse me, before us.
Yeah.
Would anybody like to? Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I would like to move the amendment so we can discuss it.
Okay.
I appreciate your comments, Mr. Cruz, and I appreciate the position of the department on that, but this is timely. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity, and I'm thinking about the ports of Red Wing, and I'm thinking about the ports of Winona and Savage, and those soybeans getting on those barges going down the Mississippi River, and Cuba's right there. And I think there's a market particularly for soybeans. Based on my reading, I don't recall the newspaper, but I noticed a headline. I was busy this morning, but I believe in today's paper, either the Mankato paper or the Minneapolis paper, or maybe the New Ulm Journal. There's an article about Move on Cuba Now, and we heard the testimony where we already have folks in this state who have relationships, pretty well established relationships with Cuba. So Minnesota, and there's been trade missions, and it seems like a natural. And so my challenge is, I guess my question would be for the testifier, how can we count, you know, would you please describe what the Department of Ag will be doing to take advantage of the moment as this opens up, so Minnesota's first in line, so Minnesota soybeans are traveling down that river and being shipped to Cuba. So if you could comment on that, I would appreciate it.
Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, you know, a lot of that's going to depend on this session. Certainly, if let's say, for example, nothing changed about the Department of Ag, certainly we would be looking to go to Cuba anyway, and we'd be looking for ways to do that. And we do have trade mission authority currently under law. We could, in theory, depending upon how our budgets pan out as of May 19th of this year, we could, in theory, do this without this legislation. This directs us to do it. And it isn't something that we have a conflict with the idea. It's really a matter of prioritizing and taking a wait-and-see approach to what this body and what the other body do with our budget, with the Agri Fund, with the Ag Board, and with many other initiatives. To see where we're at. So this gives us the flexibility to say, okay, well, we're going to weigh, maybe we can do a trade mission without this $50,000. We don't know. It'll really depend upon what this legislature and this session has to offer.
Chair Hamilton.
And Madam Chair, I think the question that I have for Mr. Cruz is that if we pass this legislation, would this amendment, would this interfere with any of the plans that the department may have currently? I don't know if there's any trade missions planned, you know, Mexico, China, whatever the case may be. Would this interfere with anything that's already in the making?
Mr. Cruz, I believe we have
Mr. Poster behind
I,
you.
I have a phone a friend.
Charlie Poster, Assistant Commissioner at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Actually, Commissioner Fredrickson asked that we start looking into a Cuba trade mission today to look at timelines in the next 6 months to a year. It's not dependent on this funding. We've received numerous calls from the Minnesota soybean growers, from food exporters, as well as other commodity groups. There's a huge interest in this market, and we do see it in our plans, regardless of this funding. I hope that helps.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Chair Hamilton.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I appreciate the Department of Ag is on top of things, and they have continued to demonstrate that today with everything that they've been doing. And I'll just speak about, again, carving out money from Agri, even though, again, this is a small amount. I know we have another one coming up that has a larger amount, but I just would have a concern, again, that we're somehow directing money, and I appreciate Chair Anderson's comments earlier about prioritizing things within Agri. You know, I'd be the first to say I haven't been pure completely on Agri and whether or not to take it or readjust how it's spent, but certainly I think there is a benefit to having the department and the commissioner have access to the funds to be able to determine how they're going to be spent and what the priorities are. And all of the benefits we have seen from it certainly would share that that it has been successful and that we have seen good things come out of it. So I guess I have a concern about that once again we're stating that there is going to be money and how that money is going to be spent.
Okay. Any other comments from members?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, and I just want to thank Mr. Poster for your comments, and I also applaud the Ag Department. There's a lot of room to move. This is an emerging market, and I'm glad to it does show a responsive Department of Agriculture. We've listened to them testify all session, and it doesn't surprise me. So I will withdraw the amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I believe we have the 813 amendment, and the 813 amendment, and I may ask staff to help out. I'm going to walk through it a little bit. On the 813 amendment, I tagged this one as we're putting it together, the cleanup amendment, if you will, and we'll go into more detail. When we took testimony, there was a bill up about the ag nuisance lawsuits as well. I believe Chair Anderson was the author of that. And then we discussed making that, instead of passing that, put that part of the study within the Representative Miller bill. And so there's language in here that would direct the department when they're looking at the Representative Miller's why livestock is locating elsewhere other than Minnesota. That they take a look at around ag nuisance lawsuits. So that's a part in this bill. There was an oversight on the farm to food shelf provision. I believe I was speaking with Mr. Darren McBeth, and he brought that to light. So there's a provision to address that oversight as well. The ombudsman language, Representative Applebaum, there's two places where that is in the bill, the DE1 amendment. And one, it created a whole new office within there. The other one, it instructed the department to do what you're just doing. And by creating that whole new office, we had a number of other committees that wanted to hear the bill as well. And so we're keeping that part as far as what you're instructing the office, the department to do. But we're not setting up that office yet. That's what the DE amendment does on that piece. A technical fix to the AFRAC account. We took testimony, or I was visiting with a group on the eligibility requirements when we were taking a look at those research dollars and where those dollars would go. There's some languages that say, but not limited to, on page 29, lines 3 and line 4 on the DE1 amendment. And so we're listening to the concerns, and we're removing that but not limited to, because I understood what they were saying. It opens it up pretty wide on where those dollars could go. And the intent of that was not to send it into a private entity or anything like that. It was just to make sure that we didn't miss anything as we're listing out the university. But after listening to the folks that had concerns, this amendment would remove that as well. And then there's another, we're going to have to do, I'm going to need staff to help, because I would like to remove, in the amendment, there's a provision in there that would remove page 14, section 5 of the DE1 that authorizes MDA to use the pesticide regulatory account. And I'd like to make an oral amendment to this amendment that would ixnay that, that would strike that. So I don't know if there's if we could do that. And then I think Representative Vice Chair Keel, I think you're working on that. So it would leave it as is for now. So that would be an oral amendment. And again, if I could ask your support, if staff could just repeat what I had said about that oral amendment and to get the amendment in the shape that I would like to vote on it for.
Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, to keep Section 5 in the DE amendment for future amending, the motion on the A13 is just to eliminate line 12. Page 1, line 12 would be deleted.
Page 1, line 12.
Okay.
Chair Hamilton.
Yes, so I would like to make that oral amendment now, and I'm also looking at Representative Poppy. I'd like to make that oral amendment to delete line 12 on page 1, line 12.
Okay.
I'd like to make that oral amendment.
Yes.
And can
Chair
I
Hoppy,
that?
Yes.
Hoppy?
Madam Chair, yes, that's okay.
Okay. Chair Hamilton. Oh, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Chairman, I think I would just like a clarification on page 2, the underlined lines 217 and 218. I remember when this bill came up before, we talked about, actually 217 and 218, we talked about the transportation expenses, how they could be used, and this seems fine, but I'm just wanting to make sure that we understand, if I understand the intent at that time was that the transportation expenses could be to the produce could be shared with the producers or given to the producers as well as the actual second harvest heartland. I just want to make sure that that's on the record because we did talk about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Representative Clark. And
Chair Hamilton.
Chair Keel, we do have a testifier that can speak directly to that.
Welcome. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Yes, Madam Chair, committee members, and Representative Clark. You are correct with the addition of lines 17 and 18. In the manager's cleanup amendment, it would allow for reimbursement to farmers or to the food trucks that are picking up and ultimately distributing the food. In some cases, it is the farmers delivering directly to food shelves the produce. More cases than not, it's the food banks that are coordinating those logistics and taking care of it. But in either case, the way the language is written, it would work to reimburse them.
Thank you.
And Darren Macbeth, Gray Plant Moody, representing Second Harvest Heartland, for the record.
Thank you, Darren.
So,
other members' questions? Oh, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we're on the oral amendment, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Yes. Representative Applebaum, did you have questions for the amendment?
The oral amendment. But I've got a couple.
Oh. I've got a couple comments on the A13 and in general, but on the oral amendment regarding line 112, neither of my comments pertain to that. So,
okay. All right. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So we're.
So, Madam Chair, do we need to vote on that, or let's just vote? Yeah, let's just vote on the. I made the oral amendment to delete on page 1, line 1.12. If we could just vote on that, and
and then get back to the amendment as amended.
Okay. Okay. All in favor of the amendment as amended?
No.
Aye. Yeah, more. Excuse me. All in favor of the oral amendment as amended?
No. All in favor of the oral amendment.
All in favor of the oral amended amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know.
Tongue twister. Madam Chair, I believe we have some questions to the amendment, Representative Applebaum and others.
Representative Applebaum.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members. Representative Hamilton, I want to thank you for including the ombudsman provision in your DE initially. I just wanted some clarification beyond what you just said in that is there a way that we can provide true statutory authority for the ombudsman position in a way that goes beyond its inclusion in the rider language that we see on page 4? And my concern really is that by not creating a solid, predictable, and consistent resource for farmers, it really destroys the purpose that this office was intended to create. So I was just wondering if I could get your thoughts on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and if
Chair Hamilton,
thank you, Madam Chair, and if we could have Mr. Sullivan point to the two areas within the DE amendment, the area that we're keeping, the language in which we're keeping in the DE amendment, and then the office provision. Could you point to those two areas within the bill,
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, the first piece of language that is not removed by the A13 amendment is on page 4. It's lines 14 through 18, and that's under the subdivision Agricultural Marketing and Development, and it requires the commissioner to perform the same tasks that are also then codified on page 14, section 2. That would put the Ombudsman Office in statute, and the amendment eliminates section 2 on page 14 but retains the rider language on page 4.
And
Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Applebaum, I was speaking with others, and it is in the Department of Deed, I believe, that we're instructing them to do the exact same thing on the one-stop shop on the permitting piece. And so I can see where these two, your legislation here and this language, to have an individual or point person with the Department of Ag can help redirect or direct those to some of the other entities that are staffed to do this very thing as well. Because as we all know, when it comes to permitting, livestock facilities and other, that's actually within the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. And I believe Representative Fabian serves on another committee as well, or it might even been a bill that he carried instructing Deed to do the very same thing. So we may be duplicating some of the services here, but I like the idea about the farmers are going to pick up the phone and call the Department of Ag or whatever, to where we've got this language that spells out what you had brought up on page 4. Provide, you know, access in need of the information, and it could be redirected to a department that is already in existence is the point that we're trying to make here as well. So, Madam Chair, I don't know if Representative Fabian has something to add.
I believe so. Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hamilton and Applebaum. Obviously, I've been involved in the permitting stuff for quite a bit. And one of the bills that we did a few years ago created the Minnesota Business First Stop with the idea to help businesses, which of course agriculture is, with permitting and so forth. And I can share with you from a press release from Governor Dayton's office about their vision and how they had hoped that this would work and is working. Including the Department of Ag, so that there's kind of one place, one centrally coordinated place where proposers can go for assistance in going through the permitting process, and I'd be happy to share more of that with you. The deed website's got some stuff. If you Google Minnesota deed business first stop, you'll find a lot of information on that. So I think that you have a great idea, but as Representative Hamilton says, we may be creating something that we already have. So I appreciate your concern.
Representative Applebaum.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Fabian, you know, that may be true, and I'm familiar with the program that currently exists at Deed, but I just wanted to be clear with you and the rest of the members, Chair Hamilton, that you know, the purpose behind this was just to make the process easier. And so if I can get your assurance that I can continue to work with you to, I guess, guarantee that something will be in place for farmers to have easy one-stop assistance, regardless of its form, that's the intent behind the bill, and so that's my concern and why it's in the rider versus in statute. And so as long as we can continue to move forward, I hope that we can do it to ensure easy permitting regulatory questions do get answered by a consistent person or persons that are available to all Minnesota farmers.
Yeah. Madam Chair, and to
Chair Hamilton.
That, yeah, that's precisely what we want. That's why I signed on to your bill as well, because it's precisely what we want, and we just want to make sure that we're not duplicating some of these things as well. So, no, I appreciate you bringing this forward, and yes, we'll continue working on this.
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, I believe we may have some testifiers that want to speak to portions of this amendment, I believe.
You're referring to my oral amendment?
No.
You're referring to...
No, the oral amendment's already been adopted. And so the 813th amendment, there may be someone that wants to testify.
On the 813? Okay. Yeah. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify to the 813?
You again?
I know.
Welcome. Could you please identify yourself for the record?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I'm here on behalf of the Minnesota Association for Justice, and I'm just wild about the Agriculture Committee this year. I just have a little question. I'd like to direct your attention to lines 3.12 and 3.13 on the A13 amendment. I was thinking as I've been sitting here thinking of something Representative Anderson said on an amendment a little while ago. And he said his concern is that the amendment was only focusing on two things. And he had a problem with that. And my concern with these two lines in this amendment is that you're really just focusing on one thing. And I have a problem with that. The biggest concern that I have with this language is what you are selecting to measure and by whose perspective you are measuring it by. As I read the language in the amendment in the context of the larger study that's going to take place regarding ways to increase production agriculture, you will only talk to people who feel that a nuisance claim, as referenced in 3.13, think a nuisance claim is a horrible thing. I've been representing the Association for Justice and people who have been injured by others' wrongful conduct for about 22 years now in all manners of claims, drunk drivers, medical errors, accidents, homeowners with property damage, and some homeowners that have had nuisance claims. And in all of my years here, I've never once, not once, had a defendant come and say, boy, I really deserve that. I really deserve to be sued in that instance. That was really, I really messed up. That is just not going to happen. And so what you've got with this language is a system where you're only going to talk to people from their perspective of nuisance claims being a bad thing. And we know the very limited cases, we know what those defendants think of those claims. They have a bill here at the Capitol to eliminate them. So a study isn't going to change their mind. It is just not going to produce anything. I think if you really wanted to study this issue, you would have a significantly longer amendment, and you would talk about and try and study the issue of nuisance conditions that include both public health, individual health, environmental impacts. Those are the things that you would study if you wanted to look at the problem of nuisance conditions from animal agriculture. And that's what I fear is lacking here. You're only going to look at one part of the equation, which is from the defendant's perspective, and you're not going to look at the broader problem that citizens have experienced of nuisance conditions from some of the operations. And they are quite rare, and these are important facilities. But this language, as I read it, Madam Chair and members, respectfully, I would say, ictionay, that I just feel that you're only studying just a small part of the problem. It is going to presuppose what the answer is, because the people that you are talking to are only going to be those who feel that these claims against them will either prevent them from expanding, and you'll get a report that says we should get rid of these claims because it is impacting the ability of production agriculture to grow. And that's our concern. If you're going to do this, let's have a more global look at nuisance conditions, but don't just focus on nuisance lawsuits that are filed against defendants when they have problems with their neighbors. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And truly look at this issue if that's what the committee is interested in, but I believe you need some balance and look at it from both sides of the nuisance problem. Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone have any members have any questions? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know if I have a question, but I want to build on the thought that you had. I took a note, and I work in a university. I'm not the type of I'm more of an advisor, and I prepare teachers, so I don't do a lot of hard scholarship, but I work with a lot of folks who do. And studies can be narrowed and filtered in this way, or they can also miss the opportunity to take the broader view. And I think it's possible that that study would want to look at the quality of our highways and our ports. I think that study might want to look at access to processing facilities, educational opportunities, funding for schools, strength of producer organizations, weather, tradition and history of the industry in the various states, proximity to markets, state support for facilitating startup modernization or expansion of livestock. You might recognize that language was from the Agri-Fund, or just competition from lutefisk. You know, the point is, there's a lot of reasons. I agree with Representative Miller. This study is a valuable study, and I look forward to it, because livestock's important in Minnesota. We want to know what's going on with our livestock industry as it relates to other states. But let's have a good study. And I think my colleagues at Minnesota State would say, this narrows the study. Let's keep it open. Let's do a really good study. Let's look at it broadly. And let's better understand our livestock industry. And I think we'll have a better study, and we'll learn the sorts of things we need to know to inform our policymaking moving forward.
Representative Bly.
Thank you, Chair. And I appreciate your coming forward with this question, because you're echoing concerns that I have as well. And I guess from my perspective, the statement as it stands sort of precludes the notion that nuisance lawsuits are irrelevant, or they're not bounded in something important. And I guess, you know, from a different perspective, I think laws that protect citizens and asks producers to go a step further and be good neighbors is a good thing. I don't think that's a bad thing. And if we need to have some way of making assurances that, you know, when they come into the state, or when they consider coming into the state, that they will take that into account, I don't view that as a bad thing. And unfortunately, I think the way that as you say, it's limited, it precludes that the other side doesn't have a valid point to make. And is that kind of the point that you're making?
Representative Applebaum.
Yeah. No, right here. No. I'm chair right here.
Oh, Mr. Carlson, excuse me.
No problem. Madam Chair and Representative Bly, That's absolutely the concern, is that you're only focusing on what we know will be a negative outcome. You cannot study nuisance lawsuits filed against poultry or livestock farms from the perspective of increasing animal agriculture, which is what the study is supposed to do, bring back recommendations to how can we increase animal agriculture. And you cannot study nuisance lawsuits filed against those same firms and come back with anything other than a recommendation, but that they're a bad thing.
Madam Chair.
Chair Hamilton.
Let me offer a paradigm shift, if you will. What if the study came back and said, you know what, the lawsuits, they're not impacting the livestock industry? You know? What if they come back and they, I work with, in the pork industry, and what if they are visiting those folks and others, and they say, you know what, we don't have an issue with that. That's the other perspective. And so, with the approach that, the testifier is saying, it's all negative, 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 but what if it's positive? And that's what we're asking for. And that's why we're asking about the study. So that, take a look. If this is an issue, then let's know if this is an issue. And then we can address it legislatively as well.
Representative Bly.
Well, certainly you can comment on this, but the impression I have is your point is that when you are asking for a negative, you get a negative. And what you're saying, you're not saying don't do some study that includes the impact of nuisance. You're saying let's make sure that we're inclusive enough that we're asking for the kind of information that will give us both sides and could lead us to that conclusion that, hey, it isn't really that big a deal. But I guess that's the concern I have, Representative Hamilton, is that it looks like we're going to end up with what we asked for or what we're, measuring. And maybe there's a way to word it so that wouldn't be the case.
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and members, and I have great respect for Representative Hamilton, and I respect his comments. However, I've been in this committee twice and two other committees in the House this year on a bill to eliminate nuisance claims against production agriculture. So I don't think we're going to find out what their position is. We know what it is. I've testified against it four times already this session, as have many others. And so I don't think we're going to get to that point unless I believe, if you want to keep this language in there, I believe you would add after nuisance on line 1.13, you would add nuisance conditions and lawsuits filed against production agriculture. If that's what you were trying to get at, is, is it a negative? Are they a problem? Because you really need to talk to the people who are affected by these conditions to really have a valid viewpoint as to whether or not such a claim is good or bad, because you really don't have any balance the way it is written right now. That's our concern.
Madam Chair, I have an oral amendment. I would like to offer an oral amendment on line 3.13 to add the words after nuisance, add condition and lawsuits. So add the word conditions and. That'd be my oral amendment. I ask for your support.
Mr. Sullivan, did you get the amendment?
All right. Madam Chair, yes, I did. The amendment's on page 3, line 13, after nuisance, insert conditions and. So the sentence as amended would read, including but not limited to the impact of nuisance conditions and lawsuits filed against poultry or livestock farms.
Okay. Members... shall we vote on it? I've got Representative Applebaum. Did you want to address the amendment?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This can be answered, I guess, by Mr. Carlson. Do you believe that by adding the words condition and, it would address some of the other aspects of nuisance suits, such as the benefit of nuisance claims to communities, or the harm individual communities have suffered as a result of rogue agricultural facilities, and also really, does it make sense to
spell out how the study will evaluate the impact of claims, because I just want to make sure that we don't tilt the scales to get a result that is so skewed that it seems foolish to even have a study to begin with. So I just, a long way of asking you, will the benefits of nuisance claims vis-a-vis the overall quality of life be factored if this language is added, and not just the negative impact it could have on agricultural, head of cattle or livestock?
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair and members, as I read the language, and I don't want to drag you down to the Civil Law Committee, but nuisance is defined in law in Chapter 561.01, and nuisance is anything that is injurious to our health, our enjoyment of our property, our water, our air. And so to me, if you are studying nuisance conditions, and the Department of Agriculture is looking at nuisance conditions, they would have to look at all of those things, Representative Applebaum, that you are mentioning. And so I think that that would require them to address, surface water runoff and other things that are nuisance conditions that are the subject of these nuisance claims. So I think that helps dramatically. I don't know that it makes the language perfect, but I think it helps dramatically, yes.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Sounds to me there's a little bit of concern about what this study could show, and I'm the one that carried the bill this session, and it's a protection we already provide to smaller livestock operations. We've done that, I think, for 20 or 25 years, and what my bill would have done was extend that to larger operations, pork and cattle operations. But I have no. I think adding that language is good. That it would give it a more well-rounded, at least sound to it. So I think that language change is good.
Members, can we vote on the? Representative Miller, to the amendment.
The oral amendment.
The oral amendment.
I can wait for that.
Okay. Let's vote on the oral amendment. Adding the nuisance condition and lawsuits on 3.13. Correct, Mr. Sullivan. All in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. That's amended. Back to, I believe, A13, correct?
A13 amendment as amended.
As amendment. Representative Miller.
Pardon me?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. To the members, we go back to one of our first couple committee hearings where we really started talking about things, and we got into animal ag, and I don't remember the specific subject anymore, but there was a lot of anecdotal conversations on things, and someone brought up science, and I thought that was a fair thing to say. So I put together a bill that was supposed to be for animal ag research, the growth decline, the causes surrounding that. I went to Chair Hamilton. He thought it was good. I went and spoke to Representative Johnson about it. He thought it was good. University of Minnesota, because I thought they should be involved. Talked to Commissioner Fredrickson, because, of course, the Department of Agriculture would have a concern about this. He asked me a question. And then he gave me a response after he gave that, and his question was, do you have some presuppositions of what this research is going to find? And I said, of course I do. Everything that I'm biased towards. I think that's what is good and bad about all of this. But then I also said, but that's why we're going to have this study, so that it's scientific. And he said, that's good. I think this is a good scientific study. So because Commissioner Fredrickson is not here, I believe, and I do have faith in Mr. Cruz. I was wondering if he could give a little bit of a perspective on, because what I don't want to get lost in, I know these are important conversations that we have here, But if in the end we end up not truly studying the rise and fall of animal ag and the causes therein, then I'm concerned that all this was for naught. So if he's already down there, so if you would beg him to allow give a little bit of information on this, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Mr. Cruz?
Santa Cruz, Minnesota Department of Ag, for the record. Madam Chair and Representative Miller, you're correct. At the Department of Ag, when we're directed to do a study, we do not start with the conclusion. We go and we talk to all interested parties. When someone tells us that there's a nuisance lawsuit, we don't consider it a nuisance just because it's filed underneath that chapter. They have to prove up their case. There has to be an independent finding in a court of law. And if that case is found to be a valid claim and the ruling is in favor of the petitioner, then we would say there has been an independent finding that there is a nuisance condition. We are not the arbiters of what is going on out there. That is between the private landowners, the controlled animal feeding operations, and the courts. And this does not really weigh into, in our mind, the department being the arbiter of whether or not these lawsuits are good things or bad things, or whether or not they should be allowed or not allowed. We don't have a position on any of that. This would be just us taking the direction to look into the effects, the economic effects, if at all. And again, some of this could be framed up well by looking at page 46, that this is supposed to be in relation to our neighbors. So if you look at the agricultural livestock industry are in our neighboring states, it may in fact be not a big effect. We don't know. So again, I would repeat that at the Department of Ag, when we're directed to do a study, we don't start with the conclusion and then build our facts around that. We go out and we do fact finding. We work with the University of Minnesota. We do real research, and then we would ask that anybody read that report and read that research with the same open mind we went on that mission of fact finding. So that would be my perspective on it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cruz. Members, I want to remind you that we did have this major conversation earlier. When we heard the bill the first time. But I believe, Representative Fabian, you don't have anything to add? Okay. Is there any? Oh, Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to reiterate what I'm talking about. Again, when Representative Miller asked me about to sign on as a co-author, I said yes because, we had, if you'll recall, I'm sure it's in the minutes, we had some banter and back and forth about the livestock industry. See, I live in a county where the livestock industry is healthy. Nicollet County, we're proud of our livestock industry. It's healthy, and what are the factors for that? Could it be that, we could speculate a lot of factors about that, but I'm just going to give you two thoughts I have. One thing, I had the honor of taking Pork 101 from the pork producers. I recommend we all take that, and one of the basics that you learn in Pork 101 is that access to processing facilities is absolutely critical. Another thing you learn in Pork 101 is that you have to have access to land to place the manure. Those are factors that might be much more important than nuisance lawsuits, and here we're focusing on nuisance lawsuits. So then I think of the dairy industry. Wisconsin has spent millions and billions of dollars over years and years to establish Wisconsin as the dairy state. Does that give them some advantage in promoting and developing their dairy industry? I would speculate yes. And we could start putting all of these in here, and we convolute the study. Let's get a good study. Let's keep it clean. I thought Representative Miller's bill, the way it was originally, I think is the better way to do that. And I think, and it's important to do it that way. And I guess my recommendation would have none of this language with respect to nuisance. I would assume that would be part of the study, because that's part of the reality, and our states, neighboring states, deal with that a little differently, perhaps, and certainly could look at. But there's so much else going on, and I could talk about Highway 14 if we had a bit of Highway 14, how good a pork industry we'd have. But my point is, when we do these studies, let's not focus the study, and I think this is what Mr. Cruz is talking about. Let's do a genuine study, and I think it. I think Representative Miller had a good idea. We need to know how strong our livestock industry is in comparison to our neighboring states. That's a very legitimate question, but the moment you add some, you know, promotion for dairy on there, well, then you skew that study again. Let's let the Ag Department work with the University of Minnesota. Let the scholars frame the study, have a good study, and then Minnesota can better appreciate and trust what's being studied, and all Minnesotans. And so I have a problem with that language, and it's based on let's do a good study.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I hope that, and I assume that as this bill moves out of this committee and journeys to Ways and Means, that there's probably a revised fiscal note as we're composing on the fly here and adding things that might cause more cost or decrease more cost. So I'm assuming that, you know, the department will tell us how much this is going to cost. We're going to have to track that because we don't really know right now. So in the next few days, they better work on that. But the whole bill, I think, is going to have the fiscal note to see where it really costs.
Okay, Representative Chair Hamilton, do you have any other comments?
No.
Okay, so are we ready to?
Representative Hansen, yes, of course, we'll have a fiscal note and everything as well. So with that, I think there's...
Excuse me.
Yeah, to the A13 amendment.
Yes. Identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Bobby King. I represent the Land Stewardship Project. Just a quick comment on Representative Applebaum's ombudsman effort. One type of permit our members often have trouble with that is issued through the MDA are food handling permits. Those are exclusively within the MDA. They can be very confusing. And it would be, I know, helpful to a lot of farmers that deal with that to have one point of contact and clarity. The main issue I wanted to speak to, though, is the Ag Research Education Extension and Technology Transfer Board that's in here. And last hearing, I testified about the good conversation my colleague Paul and I had with Representative Hamilton, and we appreciate that. And I think we discovered we do have more common ground than people might expect. And he committed to work with us, and we're committed to working with him to figure out if we can get to something that we agree to. When the delete all came out, the board was changed. Two folks were added, and we thought it was important that now the commissioner appointed the members of the board. That creates some accountability. One of our concerns was that we were creating a self-appointed board that oversees a lot of money, and the accountability wasn't clear. So we thought that was a meaningful move towards addressing our concerns, but I was disappointed when I looked at this amendment. It steps that backwards. Now, except for the Sustainable Ag and the environmental group, the organizations now appoint their own person. So we've got a concern with that. We will continue working with Representative Hamilton as long as he's willing to tolerate us, to figure out if we can get somewhere we agree to. But this is a lot of money. And our other concern, is that it's taking from the Agri Fund, which does have a record of transparency and accountability. So I just wanted to raise those concerns and echo that we're interested in continuing the talking to improve this if it's possible.
Chair Hamilton.
Madam Chair, thank you. And thank you to the testifier as well for bringing that up. What the provision that he's talking to, visiting with some of the groups on the board, they were saying that they would like, for instance, if you have the pork producers, for instance, we have a committee that focuses on research, another committee that focuses on promotion, another one focuses on education or whatever. And what they were saying is that what they would like to do is be able to survey all their members, one, see who's interested. And then two, you know, if there's somebody from the education piece, then it'd be a likely candidate to come and talk about, or excuse me, from the research piece, it'd be a likely candidate to represent them
because they have the knowledge and the expertise and everything in the research side of it. So that's what we're trying to get to here. Just like Mr. King has said, we'll keep working on this as well as we go through. I think it's totally different in the Senate, so we have a long ways to go. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. King. Members, I believe we will vote. Would Representative Hamilton renew his motion to adopt the A13 amendment as amended? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I believe the next amendment will be the A8. No, we have two, the A18 amendment, right?
Yes.
And this may be your, whose amendment is this, Madam
this
Chair?
Is my, this is yours. This is all my
right.
amendment.
All right, thank you. I'm getting tired. I'm sorry.
I don't blame you. Members, this is an oral amendment. You didn't see this before. And I would ask Mr. Sullivan to explain the amendment. It has to do with the financing earlier with the between the nursery account and the pesticide account. And I think we've got an agreement now. So, Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, the A18 pertains to how the Department of Agriculture pays for its cost to test nursery plants for the presence of systemic insecticides under the pollinator-friendly labeling law. The effect of the A18 as a whole is to amend both the pesticide regulatory account statute and the nursery and phytosanitary account statute to say that the department may take up to $20,000 from each account to pay for its testing and other enforcement of the pollinator-friendly labeling law. So that's on page 1 of the A18, line 3. That's a change to a section of statute that's in the DE1 now. Currently, the language in there is from Representative McNamara's bill, and it gives the department discretion to use an unlimited amount of money from the pesticide regulatory account for the pollinator labeling law. So the amendment puts the cap of $20,000 per fiscal year on the use of that account. And then you see down below lines 5 through 13 with the written amendment changing $50,000 to $20,000, you'll see a corresponding cap on spending from the nursery and phytosanitary account for the same purposes, testing and other enforcement of the pollinator-friendly labeling law.
Are there Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, it's unfortunate we actually have to have this amendment, because I think the amendment we took care of earlier, which we had talked about in committee, was the right thing. It was the intent of me as the author previously. And I think the only way to describe this amendment, and I understand that there's a compromise met, but this is really bullying by the agricultural chemical industry. You know, the pesticide regulatory fund is paid into by the nursery and landscape folks, by homeowners, by structural pest control. It is not just an agricultural fund. And some of the special interests have said that this is only an agricultural fund. And they've said that the nursery landscape folks have to pay for their part. If you're testing for pesticides, you're testing for pesticides, whether they are a agricultural pesticide, a homeowner pesticide, a nursery pesticide, a structural pesticide. The analysis that the Department of does is using their equipment to study for pesticides, and that's a pesticide regulatory account. So, Mr. Chair, I know that you've been working on this. You've been working on this for several weeks, over $20,000. Arguing over $20,000 because special interests have to mark their territory.
Any other members' questions at all? Comments? Okay.
Madam Chair.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And to this amendment, we're visiting with Chair McNamara on the House floor, talking to him about this as well. And again, I don't want to speak for them. I was under the that there wouldn't be any opposition from the nursery folks. I could be wrong. But I think that was, well, I know that was the conversation that we had on the House floor. It's not kowtowing to any one group per se. It's just I know that there's a lot of, a lot went into this. I remember when this account was established and a lot went into this and whatnot. And we just want to, we just want to make sure that the original intent is met as well. So, I'm sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I neglected to ask Representative Poppy. This is an oral amendment. Are you willing to work with us on it?
I think we've gone down the road of accepting everything, so we'll continue to do that.
Thank you. With that, any other comments? Okay, then we will amend this. Or
vote.
Take a vote on this amendment. A18. All those in favor of accepting the amendment A18 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion or amendment is amended. Adopted, excuse me.
Madam Chair, I think we have the A. Hold on, my glasses is
A15.
I believe this may be Representative Clark.
Yes. Representative Clark, would you like to introduce?
Yes, Madam
Chair. Move this amendment.
Yes, I'd like to move the A15 amendment. This amendment, members, was we don't exactly know how it happened, but it didn't get included in the original packet. But it was turned in earlier, and I talked with the chairman about this committee, this amendment. So I'm. Basically, I'd just like to describe it first, and then we can talk a little bit more if there's questions. This comes out of the work that's been going on now for 3 years to look at the whole issue of urban agriculture, and I appreciate that Chairman Hamilton has already got some language in there. This was, what you have before you is an amendment that was fashioned after we had a hearing on urban agriculture, and there were some questions that were raised about that specific amendment. So we tried to meet every one of those concerns, and I'd just like to go through it. The first part, it does have something that is new, which is the actual appropriation that we wanted to put into this, into urban agriculture in the department, and it's focusing a portion of the agri account, which is very related to urban agriculture, sustainable agriculture, on it. For $500,000 each year, which I would point out is less than 5% of the fund. The next part is just a description again of urban agriculture, a definition. It's very similar to what Chair Hamilton had. I think it just makes one point clearer, which is that we're not talking about single-family residences if the produce being grown there is primarily for the property's occupants. We also then in the next. Part C went through again, as we did in the committee, the cities that meet the definition of a metropolitan statistical area. But we did add, as I think came to us originally from the chairman, that there would be language that also made it clear that a certain percentage, which is not yet defined, would also be served where the population is minority as described in the census. Use the census language for that. And then the next part on subdivision 2 on the next page, page 2, what we were trying to do there is meet the concern that was expressed about guidance for the Department of Agriculture. What kinds of guidance would they have for awarding these competitive grants? Again, these are competitive grants just like the rest of the AgriFund. And I think one of the important ones to point out right away is the one on line 2.5 where we talk about, we're no longer talking about acres or acreage, we're talking about production capacity. And that was, I think, a meaningful point that was raised, that sometimes you can have a small space and it can be vertical and you can have great production that way. So we talked about production capacity rather than actual acreage. And we lay out the other provisions that we think should be incentives for or priorities for awarding the competitive grants, creating jobs and creating access to fresh food, reducing or eliminating health disparities related to that food access, promoting value-added agricultural production, providing entrepreneurial opportunities, enhancing community education, involving youth, engaging low-income communities and communities of color, providing food to food shelves and similar charitable organizations, extending the growing season. That would make it possible in some places for hoop houses and those sorts of things to be created. Develop or enhance farm-to-school channels, reduce or make more efficient use of energy or other inputs, provide environmental benefits, and promote organic and sustainable agriculture. So those are that's guidance that we would like to provide to the Department of Agriculture in awarding the grants. And then the next subdivision, 3, is the part of the bill that was really important that's not in Chair Hamilton's provision, but it was really important to the communities that are bringing this forward, which is that there would be an incentive and also consequence for not continuing to provide the land to the folks that are doing the farming. And so that talks about a repayment for loss of an urban farmer's parcel of land. And then it says, but that repayment is not required if there is a nuisance condition or other problems that might interfere with the reasonable use of the land. So that's the amendment, Madam Chair. And I'm talking with Chair Hamilton about this. Mostly at this point, we just wanted to get it on the record, talk about what it means and why it would be helpful to have this. And I realize that because it's, well, I'll just leave it at that. Maybe there's questions first. And I think I'll let Chair Hamilton speak for himself.
Yeah. Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair and committee member, Sandra Cruz, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, for the record. Currently, the department supports lines 47.29 to 48.2 with regard to urban agriculture. That's a study wherein we basically bring in all of the groups that have testified before you to do a study to propose legislation, and that is the that's our position currently. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Chair Hamilton.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, and I think I'm on record multiple times, so this is something that I want as well. Working with Representative Clark on this, we had individuals on this committee that brought up some good points about a few of the things that we have to get answers to yet, and that's why the language came forth between the study, the reaching out or directing the department to do what we asked them to do, obviously, reaching out to the various stakeholders. To help with education, grant writing, the whole component there, and then also putting a definition in what is urban agriculture. And, you know, we're committed. I'm still committed. I know this is a work in progress as well. The department, I don't want to speak for the commissioner, but I'm going to speak for the commissioner. I think this is Commissioner Fredrickson. This is something that he really supports and would like to see something happen as well. But again, it's just making sure that we got the language correct. I absolutely think the world of Representative Clark and her persistence on this, because she's extremely passionate about it. And like I said, when we talked about this, we wanted to address ag all across the state of Minnesota, you know, in rural areas to the metro or urban ag as well. I mean, we wanted to move forth legislation that focuses on everybody, large, small, traditional, conventional, organics, GMOs, whatever the case may be. I've said it multiple times. I want it all, right? And this is our attempt on this. So we're going to continue working on the urban aspect of this as well. And Representative Clark, I'm passionate about this as well. We want to make sure that we get it and get it right.
Okay, thank you, Chair Hamilton. Is there any other members that would like to comment?
Chair Pop, or
Madam Chair, thank you. I understand that from, if I'm reading between the lines, that Representative Hamilton supports what has already been put into the bill by amendment and in the initial draft of the DE1, but this is not at the point that it's ready for prime time, if I'm correctly stating that. Just a couple of things. One is, you know, it's a significant amount of dollars taken from Agri once again, so I'd have a concern about that. But I really do think the value of having a study, bringing together the stakeholders, really having the conversation that can help to identify what does need to happen is going to be very valuable. And I guess I just would like to see us continue to have what we currently have in the bill.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. Members, any other comments? Representative Clark.
Thank you, Chair Hill. Well, I just want to say this isn't a new idea. I've been working on this for, I think, something like 6 years, but 3 years here with actual legislative language. And I'm so really grateful to Chair Hamilton for actually having a hearing on a bill and letting us have the chance to bring it forward. And you know, I know that this is a work in progress, and I think there really does need to be something beyond a study. We've studied. And so as we go forward, I'm looking forward to seeing how we can work with the Senate and others on making this be have some real substance. So I think with that, Madam Chair, I'm going to withdraw the amendment and go on the faith that we're going to continue to work outside of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Clark. Is there any other amendments that we have? I believe.
Madam Chair, I don't have any more. I don't know if there's any others from the committee. If not, if anybody would like to open it up to the public, if you'd like to do that, testify for or against the bill as amended, and yeah, go from there.
Okay. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on the House File 1437 as amended? Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair, Sandra Cruz, Minnesota Department of Agriculture, for the record. One of the things that did not get amended onto the bill is the department's request for overtime for the response to avian flu. And so I just wanted to highlight that is something. The amendment that went forward, I believe, does fund, I think this is the Mr. Hansen's, Representative Hansen's amendment, has the money going to the Board of Animal Health. It does not have the department's request. So there are two requests going forward. There's the one that's, I believe, $379,000 from the Board of Animal Health. That money is being requested by the governor to basically hire temps to be out there in the field. These people have been hired already. And then they will not be FDs. They will not stick around once the crisis is over. And again, that request goes from now until the end of the fiscal year in June. And then the department has a similar but distinct request for $514,000 that would be for overtime for the FDs we have currently out in the field. So what we have is the department has, I want to say, over 20 FTEs out there right now in the field responding to the crisis. Those FTEs, their base salary, as I understand it, will be covered in a forthcoming cooperative agreement with the federal government. And what we're seeking the funding for is currently they're doing 12-hour days. They're going 7 days a week to respond to this crisis. So it's really a cash flow problem in the sense that we don't have the cash on hand to fund their overtime because, again, this is all unforeseen. So as I read the bill currently, the Board of Animal Health situation is taken care of, but the Department of Agriculture's request has not been addressed on this bill. It is something we will be moving for in the other body to address, and so I just wanted to highlight that for the committee.
Madam Chair, that's what Representative Miller's amendment did, and I thought that we were addressing that when we Representative Miller's amendment would have done that very thing. And we withdrew that, and we adopted Representative Hansen's, and so that was an oversight. Could I get staff to take a look at the A4 amendment? The A14 amendment.
A14.
Give us a suggestion, whether it's taken Representative Miller's amendment and offer that into the A17 amendment to get to that point, because Mr. Crew is absolutely right. So whatever we need to do to change the Hansen amendment, the A17 amendment, to address that issue, because that's precisely what Representative Miller was trying to get to.
Sure.
So.
Representative Hansen has
so,
the.
Representative.
That's
514. So in Representative Miller's amendment, and this is what he was trying to get to, there's $514,000 was appropriated in fiscal year 2015 from the general fund to the Commissioner of Agriculture. Do you see that, Mr. Sullivan, on the A14 amendment, Representative Miller's amendment, for the cost of avian influenza emergency response activities not covered by the federal funding? This is a one-time appropriation, is available until June 30th of 2016. So what I'd like to do to address that very issue is take that provision from the Miller Amendment and incorporate that into Hansen Amendment so we can address the department's concerns.
Mr. Sullivan, do you want to?
Sorry,
I'd let you.
And Madam Chair.
Representative Hansen would like to make a comment.
And Madam Chair and Chair Hamilton, I think that's we'd be amending the DE1 as amended. So I think that's if that is coming from the same place I took the funds from, I think that Colby Sullivan could get that language for us, and I would support that.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Sullivan?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, it was Representative Lewick's amendment, the A1, that provided increased funding for the Board of Animal Health that covered the 1.8% increase. So that, but as far as the governor's proposal for the approximately 550 for the Department of Agriculture and the $400,000 for the Board of Animal Health, Representative Hansen's amendment provided $600,000 each year to the Board of Animal Health for rapid response to poultry and livestock disease, including avian flu.
Right.
So and that money came out of the Ag Research Board's appropriation, while Representative Miller's appropriation or bill, his A14, would have taken the money from Agri in the first year and given that money, $550 plus $400 for a total of $950 in the first year, to the Ag Research Board to award to the Board of Animal Health. So if it's the will of the committee to give the Department of Agriculture $550,000 in the first year for avian influenza, the A14, I can work it over so that either the money runs through the board as proposed in the A14 or that it's appropriated directly to the department, but then that money, to stay within the committee's target, will either need to come out of Agri or the research board or any of the other pots of money.
Madam Chair and Mr. Sullivan, let's make it as simple as possible, because what we're wanting to get accomplished is it comes down to that amendment that the governor sent down to us as well, and that would put additional money to the MDA and the Board of Animal Health. Like I said, Representative Miller's amendment would have done that. We withdrew Representative Miller's amendment, and we adopted Representative Hansen's amendment, thinking it did the very same thing, similar thing. However, we excluded in the Hansen amendment the additional dollars to not only go to the Board of Animal Health, but also provision to go to the Department of Agriculture. And so what I guess what we're asking you is, how can we amend now the A-17 Hansen amendment that was adopted to direct either some of those dollars, because there's $1.2 million, some of those dollars within that to the Department of Agriculture as well? That would be the simplest amendment.
Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, the Hansen amendment takes $900,000 per year from the Ag Research Board's appropriation and gives $600,000 to Board of Animal Health and $300,000 to the U. So there isn't additional money in the Hansen amendment to allocate to the Department of Agriculture. Members have the A-15-0443, which Mr. Cruz just brought to me. That the first paragraph in there is the department's request for the overtime that Mr. Cruz spoke of. But again, it's just a matter of finding the dollars to offset this $514,000 in the first year of one-time money in order to stay within the committee's target.
Madam Chair, if I may.
Mr. Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. So what I just handed to Mr. Sullivan, both of these asks are seeking just one-time money and just for this fiscal year. It's not an increase into the base, and it's just to handle this crisis. With regard to the Hansen amendment, my idea would be, the board is asking for $379 of general fund dollars to handle just their personnel response to this crisis, independent of the rapid response fund. And then the $514,000 again is the overtime cash flow problem of the department. So my suggestion would be, if there can be someone who would adopt this, I would request respectfully that Representative Hansen adopt this amendment, would be that the rapid response fund money, that is to take on the rapid response of the disease itself. And that's what that money is typically used for. This is with, and so we don't access the rapid response fund when we run out the door for as a kind of a 911 service for this crisis. The University of Minnesota has a rapid response fund. They are seeking, as I understand it, through Dean Ames, additional dollars in a separate vehicle for this response. You'd have to talk to, I don't want to speak for Trevor Ames, but this is just to get at the personnel that are out in the field currently, and we project will be out in the field from now until June. So I understand that the Rapid Response Fund is very, very important and will be used to take on this disease itself in the coming months and weeks, years, perhaps. But with regard to the response currently out there in the field, that's a personnel a problem, and they don't access the Rapid Response dollars. So,
thank you, Mr. Cruz. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hamilton. I think I'm going to be trying to help you increase your target by what I'm going to do here. I'm going to move and to amend the DE1 as amended to take of the $5 million for the Ag Transfer Board, that up to $550,000 of the first year are used for reimbursement for overtime for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. That would be my oral amendment based on the Miller Amendment.
Can we have Mr. Sullivan repeat that, see if it works? And
Mr. Sullivan, would you please?
Madam Chair and members of the committee, this would be an amendment on page 6 of the DE. It would say, and I might need additional help from Representative Hansen on the terms that he used, but it's so there's $5 million appropriated in the first year to the board, and rider below page 6, line 10 would say, of the amount appropriated in the first year, $514,000 is appropriated to the Commissioner of Agriculture for overtime and...
Madam Chair and Mr. Sullivan, I've said up to 550 because I'm guessing that the clock would run. So 514 for overtime for avian flu expenditures.
Thank you, Ms. Representative Hansen. Mr. Sullivan.
Madam Chair, and just to clarify, so that is, would that money run through the board and be awarded back to the Department of Agriculture?
No.
No.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Representative Fabian. Okay. Mr. Cruz.
And my apologies, Madam Chair. Commissioner Poster just reminded me, we have not addressed on this particular amendment that it would be for this fiscal year, which we do need that direction to be able to spend it basically retroactively, similar to the Wolf Rider, so that we would have the authority to backfill this these costs.
Where were you?
I would incorporate.
So, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would incorporate that into the amendment.
Making it retroactive to 2015.
Current fiscal year.
Current fiscal year.
So, Madam Chair and Ms. Sullivan,
Mr.
you understand
Sullivan.
What we're trying to get accomplished here, and correct, and Mr. Savory? Yeah.
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Hamilton, I do, sorry to get bogged up in the technicalities here, but currently the $5 million is transferred right away in the appropriation to the board, so I think the correct move then is to lower that amount that's transferred to the board to $4,450,000. And then appropriate below that the $550,000 to the department for overtime and costs incurred to deal with avian influenza. And this rider would be effective immediately in fiscal 15.
Yes.
Okay. Questions, members? Everybody understand what we're doing? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is difficult, and just wondering, has the department had, you know, an idea that this was going to be happening this quickly, and have you made these requests known that you need money to pay next month's checks for overtime and things like that? You know, this is serious, and if this is the way we have to do it, that's okay, but I think there could have been a better way to do this somehow, a little bit less on the run, on the fly, like we're trying to do tonight after a four-hour meeting. And I don't know what that way would be unless we'd have special legislation, but this is difficult, a little bit awkward, but I hope we get it done.
So. Mr. Cruz.
Madam Chair and Chair Anderson, you're right. This is clumsy. This is late. We're tired. It's an important issue at the very end, and I apologize that I wasn't right in the room when this was being discussed. That's on me. But as far as the response to the crisis itself, the generating of these numbers, that was done at breakneck speed. Well, we have people at the Board of Animal Health and the Department of Ag out there trying to assess what is going out the door, because right now we don't have our green visors on. We're just getting out there and responding.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and to Mr. Cruz, I would say that a good part of the reason why he wasn't in the room when this was being discussed is because I was discussing what's going on in Northwest Minnesota right now with regards to this situation. So he said it's on him. It's equally on me. Thank you.
And
thank you, Representative Fabian. Chair Hamilton.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. And like I said, this is the amendment that Representative Miller was offering up earlier, and I'll forgive Mr. Cruz for not being here to help us out with that, but now we'll get it all worked out, Madam Chair. So,
thank you.
Is there any? Have we voted on that amendment yet?
No, we have not. We have changed
Can
it.
We?
So, are we? We're ready to vote on the amendment to the A1. Amending the A1 amendment. Did I get that right?
No.
We're amending the DE1.
Yes.
There we go. So, all in favor of amending the DE1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. The amendment is, DE1 is amended.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Anything else? Do we have others that would like to address the DE1? 14, House File 1437. Madam, welcome, and would you please identify yourself for the
record?
Thank
you, Madam Chair. Dan Scogan, Government Relations, AURI. Three items real quick, ladies and gentlemen and members. Representative Miller, thank you for the treats. They were appreciated in the back row. No, I did develop a slight rash, but I'm thinking it's something else. Secondly, and I'm going to file this under be careful what you wish for. Some of you may know that 2 months ago there was a bill to abolish AURI and move us into the Department of Ag, and I fought pretty hard behind the scenes not to hear that bill. And tonight I'm wondering if I fought too hard. But I do want to make a few points tonight, and I appreciate Chair Keel and Chair Hamilton allowing me to do that, because I did not have an amendment here tonight, but I asked if I could say a few things. A lot of the amendments we heard tonight, of course, addressed a very significant emergency that's occurring in this state right now. The other amendments changed the bill to some degree, but I think, and AURI thinks, it still missed the mark and does not address the concerns that I raised last week. This bill not only fails to fully fund AURI, it continues to ask AURI to take a 30% cut in its base funding. That at a time when the state holds a surplus and the committee has additional money to work with. Members, you serve on a committee that is probably the least partisan of any in the Capitol. Why is that? Because when agriculture thrives, Minnesota thrives, and it doesn't matter who you prefer to vote for. Strong agriculture is good for Minnesota, and a strong AURI is good for agriculture. Today, to me, it appears this committee's hands are tied by an ag budget that is too small. And that is unfortunate. It pits agriculture against agriculture. Less than $15 million would take this bill from a regular ag finance bill to an outstanding bill that would provide economic drivers in rural Minnesota, would kick the door open to new opportunities, and still provide all the protections we've come to expect in our food safety, production, and manufacturing. My appeal to leadership is that there still be time to do the right thing for Minnesota. Fund this committee to the level that is being requested. Additional funds will still make this budget 0.2% of the whole state budget for an industry that is the second largest economic driver in the state. Funding this committee, leadership, is good for all Minnesotans. Lastly, in the past 24 hours, AURI has much appreciated the commodity groups, industry, our clients, our partners, educational systems, and citizens who have reached out to leadership with a united message to do the right thing. It's exciting for us, even in adversity, to see all the sectors of agriculture pulling together in the same direction to see that the right thing is done. Your comments, stories, and support for AURI have been much appreciated, and I wanted to get that on the public record. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Scogan. Is there anyone else that would like to testify for House File 1437, the DE1 amendment? Any other comments by members? Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Scogan, thank you for your comments. I heard from one of your clients, and it's another classic case of a small, relatively small operator. He's got a business that takes in about $100,000 a year, but it's a point of pride. And he made it very clear to me that AURI is central to his success as being a small business, again, in value-added agriculture. So I agree with your comments, and I hope moving forward we can accommodate that request. You're doing well.
Thank you. Any other members? Oh. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Hamilton. Chair Hamilton, I know that you're trying to do the best you can do, and that you are really trying to get to a point where you have a unanimously supported bill. I'm not sure that you're there yet. I too think that We have some issues with them taking money from AURI, taking money from Agri, to, you know, again, pitting egg against egg, and when you want it all and you're trying to accommodate it all, I know that's difficult, a difficult place for you to be in, and I can recognize that challenge. It's just unfortunate that we are doing that. We have a number of good things in this bill, and so I think, you know, certainly on our side we'll have a number of people who will vote in support, but I think we also see that there are some things left out, and maybe they're process-oriented things, maybe they are financial things, but we do, I think just to have ag research is an important aspect. Food safety is important. Dealing with the avian flu is extremely critical. So there are many things that we need to do, many things we'd like to do, and many things I'm hoping we are yet going to be able to do.
Thank you, Chair Pop, Representative Poppy. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Hamilton. I think the work we just did shows that, you know, throughout Minnesota we can respond when there's a crisis, and we have the avian influenza right now. We don't know what it'll be next year. It could be a plant disease. We had the porcine virus last year. The longer we're in this, the more we see changes that continue to come, and things that impact the industry that are biological in nature. They're not ideological in nature. They're not based on who's in charge. They're not based on who's voting for what, but they're threats that impact the whole state. And so, you know, you and I have discussed, and we've discussed in the committee here, I have some concerns about setting up the research board. I think we showed here now that we could direct some money to respond for emergency response, but the discussion that occurred earlier with Mr. King about, you know, folks wanting to have a say or folks wanting to have the impact on the money, and we could have that discussion in healthcare, we could have that discussion in natural resources. I suppose we could have it in corrections as well, where, you know, we boards and commissions continue to proliferate in the state, and all of them have different degrees of authority. And the question of accountability and authority often is really boring, but it's really critical in terms of the protection for the public dollar. And so I think we're giving a great deal of authority here to organizations, and I know there are people that disagree with that, but advisory, don't have a trouble with it, but direct authority to spend, I think that's a mistake. And we all have the election certificates here, and we just use them to directly appropriate to respond to that crisis. And when we have, I think of back the disaster funding, when we've dealt with some disasters of weather in nature, we've voted to give direct authority to the executive branch to respond so they could reimburse quickly. And I think that's where we're probably moving to on some of these disease crises, where we probably should go to something like that, where there's a fund for contingency, for some type of whatever the next thing is. And I think that's what I was trying to move towards today, and I think we've done that in committee. But I don't think we should send stuff to groups that aren't public officials, that don't have to meet the same requirements for conflict of interest, could be lobbyists, don't have to have public meetings, and the way the thing's structured right now, that's not the way we should set a precedent of distributing money. We can do better, and I think in the next 5 weeks you probably can. So I'm not there yet. I'm one of the ones that Representative Poppy referenced, and I think maybe that gives an ability to keep working.
Chair Hamilton.
Any other questions, or you're just looking for closing comments, or
are we Okay.
Vote.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll keep
close
it.
Coming.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say I'll keep it short, right? I just want to thank everybody. Representative Hansen, you know, I hear you. I do. And it is work in progress.
I hear you.
You know what? Looking at the clock, I just want to say thank you to everybody, you know, to work on this. We still got a ways to go. I understand that. Vice Chair Keel, thank you so much. Representative Poppy, thank you so much as well, meeting with me today so we could strategize around this as well. I guess strategize would be the appropriate term. I don't know. Chair Anderson, the rest of the committee, thank you so much. It is agriculture. It is it's nonpartisan. Like others have said, it's nonpartisan. And once again, I want it all. So please, I ask for your support. Thank you.
Representative Hamilton, as part of this motion, renewing the motion, can we make the motion also that the staff may correct any technical corrections that would reflect the will of the committee?
Yes, please. So,
okay.
I'll make that motion or whomever. Yeah.
So Representative Hamilton removes his motion that House File 1437 as amended be referred to the House, the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
Nay. No.
The motion prevails.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members.
Members, we are not done yet. We have one more bill.
One more real quick one.
So don't run off on me. please.
Bill.
So this one.
House File 2040.
Yeah. And
Chair Hamilton.
I'd like to move that and send it to Ways and Means. Total disclosure, this is a vehicle bill in case my other one goes crashing and burning. So I ask for your support.
Chair Hamilton, there is an A1 amendment.
I'll move the A1 amendment as well. I don't have it in front of me.
It is a 1.8% increase to the board.
Oh, yeah. So this is... exactly. So this is deals with the Board of Animal Health. We've already heard this bill. This is the additional increase for funding for staff. We've already voted on this. This is in the other bill. I ask for your support on the A1 amendment to get it in shape. I'd like to send it off into Ways and Means.
Okay. Members, are there any discussion to the A1 amendment? So we're going to vote on the A1 amendment. All those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. to the amendment.
As amended.
To the bill, excuse me, as amended.
I simply ask for your support.
Thank you. Any other questions from members? Concerns? Okay. Representative Hamilton renews his motion that House File 2040 as amended, be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Thank you very much, members. See you tomorrow morning.